Good morning and welcome to In and Around the House. I am Tony Works alongside my partner over here, Bob Bard. And happy Mother's Day weekend to all you moms out there. It's a special weekend just for mom. Moms are special and no one will love you any more than your mom, believe me. And if I had an opportunity just to spend a couple minutes with my mom, I would certainly do so. And I hope that you will do the same this weekend. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning, Tony. I'd say happy Mother's Day to you, but I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms listening, because let's be real. Without moms, the world would not run.
No, I think we need both parties, but yes, I agree with you. There's a lot of truth there.
I do, but yes. It seems like moms especially, not always, but in a lot of cases, moms are doing, they got a lot on their plate all at the same time, more than guys.
They do. They really do. And they juggle a lot and make a lot of things happen. Think about it. You know, there are a lot of moms today. Mothers are working mothers.
Yep.
They're raising children. There's a lot of single parent mothers out there. You know, it's just the laundry, you know, getting dinners mm-hmm. together and all that. It's just and looking after everyone and caring for everybody. And when the little ones are sick, when we were sick, you know, I can remember my mom looking after me. And yeah, they are very, very special.
Absolutely. And don't forget, like, Amanda Valentine. She's not a mother of children, but she has her dogs and cats. So she says she's a mother of her dogs and cats. So to even those moms out there, we'll go with it.
Are you going to do anything special for your mom this weekend?
We are going to sure try, because besides, unfortunately, all the Bard women are working this weekend. Because
all the Bard moms?
Yes.
Are they all moms? Is Teresa and Doug, do they have kids?
Teresa and Doug, I have a niece and nephew, and then my wife, and then my mother. So all the Bard women who are moms.
How about all the moms? They are moms. How about all the Bard moms? They're all moms there, right?
Yes. Well, yes. Well, I have my... Sometimes my daughter will
work
there.
Alex, I'm trying to trip him up.
my niece will work, but yes. So, you know, we're together, but we're all working. So it's kind of, it's just crazy because they're side by side trying to help everybody.
And you will be there all day today. I'm sure most of tomorrow as well.
All day we're open. I'm there tomorrow too. So it makes it hard. So we try everything we can. And, you know, we do a good job of trying to spend time as a family. We still try to do that every so often. So. You know, and then my mother-in-law, who won't be working today, but she's working 5 days a week at the store too. So to, you know, so happy Mother's Day to her too. I don't want to forget my mother.
Yeah, I know what you can get her.
What's
for
that?
Mother's Day.
A day off?
Well, you could do that. How about a mother-in-law's tongue plant? I'm just kidding.
There you go.
Yeah. Hence the name, mother-in-law's tongue. But
you know,
so everybody's there at Bard's.
It is. It's pretty much a full family business.
Affair. The mm-hmm. full family affair.
Yep.
You know, speaking of Mother's Day, I know that you've been really busy. Do you see anything flying out the door out of the garden center that people are picking up for mom?
Absolutely. I mean, planters, and I know we're going to discuss a lot more on it as the show goes on, but hanging baskets, planters, window boxes, just annuals in general, even lilacs, hydrangeas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some of those who want like a nicer tree, Japanese maples, some magnolias, you know, because I think this spring everything was so pretty. So it made it easy for people to see what blooms and what. So, mm-hmm. you know, red buds, cherry trees, you know, there's so much out there. And I guarantee you take something to mom, anything that plant that mom can see year after year after year. That's not a bad thing.
And don't just drop it off.
No.
You know, plant it for mom. You know, what I'm seeing a lot of. Are younger people coming in with their mothers, their moms,
mm-hmm.
and just saying, hey, have at it, and they're paying for it all.
Yeah.
I see a lot of that, and it's like, oh, that's awesome. You know, and I wish I could just do the same if my mom were still around.
Yep.
For those of us who our moms are unfortunately no longer with us, we have fond memories, I'm sure. But a lot of times that's what I'm seeing in the garden center where, you know, sons, daughters come in with her mom, and it's like, get what you want. And then all the time, mom's like, no, that's good. That's enough right there. I don't need that much. And
moms,
they're like,
don't want
mom,
or need anything,
they,
but it's
never
the
do.
Thought. My
that's right.
favorite is when dad brings the little kids into the store. It's one of my favorite
yeah.
times, because
mm-hmm.
then you see, you know, 3-year-olds, you know, who can help with the decision. All and up to some teenagers coming in and picking something out for mom. you know, and taking the time. For me, it's a true pleasure because my kids are getting older. My son's a senior, my daughter's a junior in college, and you know, I'm very fortunate to have a good relationship with them. It's just a blessing. But to see younger kids coming in and picking out flowers, you know, and carrying something in their hand, going, "Dad, Mom will love this. Let's get this." It melts my heart up there. I just love to see.
And regardless of what it looks like,
it doesn't.
Dad will get it.
Yes.
And you know what's even better? I'm glad you brought that up. Is there were a couple little kids yesterday, the same thing that you just said, and we have enclosure cards that we give out complimentary with mm-hmm. various things, and it says Happy Mother's Day, and they watch the little kids write their name on it.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah, just kind of, especially when they're learning to write.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, also I love, like, they'll come in with, you know, especially the younger kids, and they want to pick the flowers. And I see the parents, "Oh, don't do that. Don't do that." And I'm like, "No, go ahead. Pick all you want. There's plenty there." And I love to see, you know, I'll see little girls walking around, and they'll be carrying, like, 10 or 12 flowers, and they're trying to hold them all, and they're kind of crushing them in
their
hands.
Trying to make a bouquet out of them.
Yeah, but they're, you know, they just can't hold them all. But it is just adorable. And I honestly encourage it. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's great.
It's cute. It's cute when you see kids do that. And you know, there were some kids yesterday. They're always looking for that little bell.
Uh huh.
We have like a little bell. If someone's not at the counter, you can just
they want to tap it.
Yeah, it's like bing, 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 bing. You know.
Does Tina ever do that for you?
I know she'll text me. It's time to come home.
There you go.
That's my bell right
there.
Well,
this time of year, you know, things are just. I mean, things are crazy at the garden center. You know. I love seeing all the customers. Unfortunately, I can't sit and talk to all of them like I normally do because of the time of year and the volume that's coming through. But, you know, so appreciative of all the customers coming in. And, you know, I love seeing them. And, you know, every spring you start to see this, you know, a lot of the same people over and over when
absolutely.
You have a small business.
That's
and you get to know them, which is
great.
Beauty
of it. That's the beauty of it. You see a lot of customers. There are a lot of customers that have been in recently that I just, unfortunately, I don't have the time to spend to just say, "Hey, how have you been?" and catch up somewhat. And that's the beauty of it. Just like mm-hmm. you said, you know, when you have a small business and you develop and build those friendships and those relationships with customers, and it's a different feel.
You know, it also goes to our listeners and those who are listening now. I love, since I've been such a short term, you know, kind of involved in the show, I love already the relationship that I'm building with the customers. And I love when they come in the store and say, "Hey, I listen to you and Tony on Saturdays." You know, for me, it's kind of like a new customer base. And so it's important to me to try to have relationships with them. And I love that with our listeners. That's why I love when they call or they love when they connect on Facebook.
But
I just love it.
It's funny you say that. A lot of times, well, I'm in my ninth season.
Sure.
And when someone says, "Hey, you know, I listen to you guys on the show in the morning." And I'm like, "Is it okay?" I never listen to myself. Is it all right? Yeah, we enjoy listening to you. I never like to listen to myself.
I did at first. When I first, you know, when I would fill in, and I was just in for you, you know, I would have Katie. Katie is the lady that does all our sales for us.
Cut you a copy?
I'd have her cut me a CD, and I'd listen to it because, one, it was like, especially my first three or four times, I wanted to see, you know, was I saying, you know, or doing something kind of odd that sounded weird to the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. And it's just because I want my craft to be as good as it can be. And still, we're still learning, and you're still learning on the show, but I don't listen anymore. You know, we do the show, and to be honest with you, you and I immediately almost start talking about next week's show as soon as we're finished, at least start thinking a little bit, "Hey, this would be a good topic. This would be a good topic," just so we can create a great show for people to listen to.
Well, this week was tough to create a great show because we've been so busy, and, you know, we do have a lot of things to talk about this morning on In and Around the House. I'm Tony Works with Bob Bard. And we're going to talk about some Mother's Day gift ideas this morning throughout the program. We're also going to talk about hydrangeas to an extent. We're going to continue our conversation as well this morning about annuals. Last week we talked a lot about thrillers, fillers, and spillers. There's still a lot to be added to that topic as well. So hang out with us and just give us a moment. We have to take another quick break. Well, our first break, I should say. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to In and Around the House. I am Tony Works with Bob Bard, and a little cooler today and tomorrow in comparison to what we've been experiencing this past week or so. And, you know, I'll take a little bit of that cooler weather. I don't want it to ramp up and get too hot too quick. And looks like today we might reach middle to upper 60s. Going to chill down a little bit tonight in the 40s, maybe mid to upper 40s. supposed to see a little bit of sunshine this morning, Bob. Then it's supposed to turn cloudy rather quickly, and then a chance for some PM showers.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need some more rain. We need rain.
I agree with you. Come on.
We're dry.
It's dry.
What the heck? You know, it's been a good spring, but it has been a wet spring. I mean, I think I saw Ron Rothaus posted something not too long ago about our how much rain we've had. I thought April was, if I remember correctly, it was one of the third wettest Aprils in history.
Really? I didn't see that stat.
I thought that's what he put. Now, I may be wrong. Please, Ron, if I got it wrong, please, you know, shoot us an email or hit us up on Facebook. But I thought that's what he said.
Hmm.
And it, but whether it was or wasn't, it was wet. That is one thing I know for sure.
You know, I know that Tim Back from Back Tree Service sent out an alert, I think it was yesterday, about various diseases and certain issues that might kind of come about as a result of some of the, you know, the prolonged moisture and wetness that we've been experiencing with various trees.
Yeah, because we really didn't get a frost this year.
No, we did not.
To have the big damage.
Right.
We usually have that. We avoided that. But I'm a little concerned about the amount of moisture we've been getting with the newly fresh leaves. You know, I'm worried about some of the crab apples. I'm worried about the blue spruces. There are things out there that I am legitimately concerned about because of the amount of moisture we've had.
Well, speaking of blue spruces, I just had mine removed the other day.
It was Is it because it had the disease or just because it got too big?
No, it was because it had rhizosphera.
Yeah.
And boy, I sprayed it until the cows came home, and it's a tough one to control.
It is.
And it's a needle cast disease, rhizosphera. And a lot of times we see it predominantly in our blue spruces here locally. And, you know, as you know, the saying goes, sometimes it's the weather here, it's the humidity, it's the prolonged moisture, and that particular species does better out west in the higher elevations.
You know, have you noticed, and I this is just an assumption that I am that I'm making based on what I've seen, that needle cast disease, I feel, is more on baby blue eyes, fat Albert, some of those varieties. I've had some hoopside blue spruces that I don't feel have had quite the issues that some of the other varieties have had. And I've got a blue spruce on the corner of my house. I planted it in 1997, never had an issue. It's full, it's thick, but the hoopside blue spruce, we have one at the garden center. I don't know, because it's a little more airy and open, and the needles are bigger and a little more spread out. I personally don't notice the problem, but you don't see as many of them as you see of the baby blue eyes and fat Alberts, and they're a lot tighter typically. So I'm just thinking with the moisture and the lack of airflow that has something to do with the disease spreading on those faster.
Well, I agree. You know, my particular blue spruce, most of the needle cast disease had started on the backside, lower side. Shady side, where there's less wind movement and so forth. And it just kind of slowly progressed up the tree, and the top of it where it was wide open, you know, that was the part that looked the best. But
you got a lot more sunlight. Wasn't that on the left side of your house, if I'm looking? And I know that.
No, it would be the right side.
It was on the right side.
It was on the southwest side of the house.
Gotcha. But was that, where was it, down the back a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
But
it was near the woodland area. So, you know, there's a couple of large trees back there. And you know what? I took down a head of birch, had the birch tree removed.
Yes, but that was really close.
It was
to your
close.
House.
You know, there's just I'm ready to start with a clean slate again, and I do not like to remove a tree for any reason unless you really have to. But those particular situations right there, I had to, and those were planted when I first moved in about 25 years
ago. I mean, those are trees that have lasted a while. They should last longer than that, but sometimes that happens. But going back to the needle cast just a little bit. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, but the needles actually kind of get a pinkish tan color to it, as opposed to just a mite color, which might be more of a true tan color. It kind of has a pinkish hue to the needle, what I've found.
There's some discoloration with it, like you said. Also, you'll also see like little spore spots on the needle itself if you look at it closely under maybe a microscope or a magnifying glass. So you can kind of see those identifiers, those markers, so to speak. And it's a real tough one to control. And right now, if you have a blue spruce and you're experiencing some of the needle cast issues, spray them with chlorothalonil. It also goes under another name called Daconil. And you need to spray often, you know, especially when it's been as wet and damp like this.
Almost
been.
Weekly or every 10 days. You got to keep, least. Especially as wet as it is. And I think they're calling for a little more moisture possibly
next week.
But, you know, we're in that starting the beginning of that summer pattern where, you know, the storms are coming out of the southwest. Typically, I know we're getting a cold front here and there. But with these kind of moistures and their continuation of moisture sitting on the needles, that's when we're running into issues. And I think to help prolong the life of your blue spruce and prevent the disease, you have to spray it. If you don't, you could be in trouble.
And, you know, there's another element that comes into play. And let's look at it like this. When our immune systems become compromised, us, you know, as human beings, we end up catching something. You know, and so the same really applies to our trees and our shrubs and so forth, keeping them healthy, keeping them happy. They're more able, you know, they're less prone to diseases and other issues. They're able to take care of themselves a lot better. So it's, you have to do your due diligence to keep things healthy and, you know, fertilize, you know, that little bit of added fertilization sometimes goes a long, long way.
Absolutely. But, you know, especially the blue spruce, sometimes they're a little bit tougher. So, you know, something you have to consider. But there's a few other things out there. So I want you to hold on to your thought there. I can see you're getting ready to go.
Well, no. I also, when we come back out of the break, let's talk a little bit about Diplodia tip blight. Because you like to use the blue spruce globosus, and that's where I usually see it the most.
Absolutely.
749-B105 in and around the house. I am Tony Works with Bob Bard. When we come back, we'll talk about blue spruce globosus. Bob loves to use those in the landscape. And what tip or Diplodia tip blight looks like. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to In and Around the House. If you look outside, kind of cloudy. We might see a little bit of sunshine peek through, but don't count on it to last very long. It looks like some midday cloudiness is headed our way, but don't let that put a damper or cut out your activities for today. It's Mother's Day weekend, so we're going to talk about some things that you can get for mom sometime this morning in the program. And also a little bit later on, you might expect some PM showers. And like Bob said a moment ago, you want more rain.
Yeah, I do not want any more rain. I was being sarcastic for those who didn't catch.
You're never sarcastic, are you?
I'm always sarcastic, but that's okay. So, but you know what? I mean, we might get a little sun this morning. I kind of hope we do. It'd be a great start to the Mother's Day weekend, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who, are out there, and we're thankful for them. I'm thankful for all the women in my life who are mothers. They're just such a big help to our store, and especially my wife, a big help to me, and I'm very thankful for that. So,
oh, you're making me.
She's not listening.
I'm getting a little teary eyed.
I know. Don't tell me I'm kissing
sappy.
Butt because she's not up
you do,
yet.
You're getting a little sappy on me.
I do that every once in a while. Hey. I'm a tender. I'm like a big teddy bear.
Yeah, right.
I'm just a teddy bear.
people know who you are and what you're all about there, Bobby.
That's right. I'm a realist.
But anyway, if we went into the break, we're talking about rhizosphere. We're talking about various issues that you might start seeing or experiencing if you haven't been in recent years, perhaps this season, because it's been relatively damp. We've been in this, seemed like a wet pattern for a while, so to speak. And we were talking about rhizosphere on blue spruces, and we also want to touch base on Diplodia tip blight that sometimes that you will see on your blue spruce globosus. And before we get to that, we have Kim with us, and Kim has a mulch question, Bob. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Hi. How are you all today?
We're doing wonderful, and happy Mother's Day to you if you're a parent.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Well, good.
I'm two.
That's awesome.
What age? We got to know.
Oh, they're older guys.
Okay. All right. You don't have to answer them.
And a grandma. So there you go.
Oh, even better. Even better. Awesome.
Yeah. I just have a question, Tony. I used to get that. Well, last year I got that mulch that you sell. Isn't that terrible? It's called a Class A, and it's real.
The grade A? Grade A cypress? Is it grade A cypress?
That's it. Yes, I'm sorry. I had it on my tongue as soon as I got it.
Well, you had the A part. I mean, that's... Well.
Yeah, I knew that's what it was. And do you have any more of that in?
We do.
It's like a couple... Oh, you do?
We do. That is...
It was like last week, and they said, I don't think we have any left. I'm not sure if we're going to get any more in.
No,
so.
we do, and that's I have to blame myself. I need to make sure that everybody's aware of what we do have in, so okay. I apologize for that, but we have plenty, no. actually.
Oh, good. Well, I will be in today and get to... You have pretty much in there, then? You have a lot?
Yeah, we have pallets of the Grade A Cypress, which is a great mulch, by the way.
It
and,
is.
And before we say what we like, what do you like about the Grade A Cypress?
Yeah. Just the way it looks, and I'll tell you, you can just rake it up, and it looks like you just put it down again.
Yeah, you turn it, and even after 6 months, it looks brand new again, doesn't it?
It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. I love it.
It's a great mulch.
It doesn't, like, when the wind blows, it doesn't... blow everywhere either. Pretty well stays set.
Absolutely. And you know that what I love most about that mulch is yes, it is a little bit more pricey than sometimes the black mulch, especially when you see it. But you know, if you use black mulch and use 40 bags, you typically are using 40 bags every year. Where with the all bark cypress, because it doesn't break down, if you use 40, you're only going to use 20 the following year. So actually in the long run,
you save.
It's actually cheaper. Even though you spend a lot more up front, in the long run, it's actually cheaper. And not to mention the bug resistance, no shotgun spores.
Right.
You know,
I didn't see mold on it or anything. It's a beautiful mulch. I get a lot of compliments from it. So
I use it, too. I love it.
Last couple. Yeah, it is.
That's
okay.
What I use. All right. Well, Kim, have a wonderful weekend.
Guys.
It's your weekend.
Right.
Thank you, as
you
always.
Too. I'll see y'all later.
All right.
Then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, I love that mulch.
It's a great mulch. And that's a... That testimonial right there from Kim alone, that is worth its weight in gold because it's a very difficult mulch to convey and sell to the homeowner because of the price point. But in the long run, it's well worth it. You don't have to mulch as often. It's decay resistant, insect resistant. You know, it's cypress mulch. It's grade A. It's the actual bark part of the tree.
So I want to touch base on this. I know we're getting ready to talk about tip blight for the globes. We're going to get to that. But this is, I think, a very valid point that people needed to take in consideration with their mulch. So it is a 3 cubic foot bag, typically, this grade A cypress.
Right.
So, you know, most hardwood mulches are 2 cubic or even 1 from some people. So if you buy a 2 cube and you pay this much, you know, let's just say 2 cubic is bag A. It is $5, but you only get 2 cubic. Well, you pay $10 for a 3 cubic foot all bark. So, yeah, you pay a little bit more, but not as much as you think, because you're really, if you compare 3 cube to 3 cube, that ends up being about $7.50 a bag for the beast. So, yeah, you paid only about 25% more, but the all bark also, because of the shred, covers more space than some of the other hardwood mulches. So, I'm not getting you look at the price and you go, it's double what hardwood is, but you get twice as much out of it. And then the length that it lasts, if you haven't used it, it's one to consider because it lasts so long.
And it runs around $10 a bag.
It's going to run anywhere between $10, $11 a bag.
And so if you do the math and you just need 10 bags, okay, that's $100, right? Let's just say that.
Okay, and let's say hardwood, you buy 10 bags and let's just put a $5 on it just because it's easy math. That's $50. Right, so you got half, but it's only 2 cubic foot.
Right, it's only 2 cubic foot. You're getting an extra cubic foot, plus you're getting 2 years longer out of it.
My neighbor, Nancy, she buys about 10 bags every other year to do the entire front of her house.
Mm-hmm.
And all she does is every fall and every spring in between, she turns it. So she'll go out there with a rake and turn it. And because it only fades on the top, the bottom doesn't fade, it looks brand new. And then it takes about 2 to 3 years for all bark to start to really break down. And even then, it doesn't break down fully. So she just, I mean, it's 10 bags. Where with black mulch, I think the first year I brought her 30. Next year I brought her 30. So she ended up, it was so much of it. It's just such a big savings.
I have a question for you. Do you sell bulk mulch?
No,
you sell
we do everything bags? In bags.
So, okay, we're going to do a little math here, and this is really interesting.
All right, here we go.
So if you buy a yard of mulch that's in a bucket, it's bucket loaded.
Mm-hmm.
That's 27 cubic feet, correct? And if you do the math, if you take 27 cubic feet and you divide it by a 2 cubic foot bag, that's 13 and a half bags.
Correct.
So sometimes, you know, a lot of people like to buy bulk mulch, and it's a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of savings there.
Mm-hmm.
But also when you buy bagged mulch, good bagged mulch, there's nothing wrong with that. But you can spread it at your leisure instead of it being, you know, in your truck for a while or on your driveway for a week. You can spread it at your leisure, but there's not a whole lot of difference, in my opinion, between the two. And here's the other part that's very, very interesting. not everybody that sells bulk mulch gives you one cubic yard.
Sometimes they give you a bobcat scoop.
It's
which
a
can
bucket.
Be smaller.
It could be two-thirds of a
always.
Yard.
Yes.
So ask what size that bucket is, and you do the math, but it's not always a cubic yard.
Well, and there's one other thing to consider. With bulk mulch, they dump it in your driveway. You got to shovel it into a wheelbarrow typically and then wheel it and dump it. And most people just take the wheelbarrow and dump piles. So if they dump too much, most people, to be if they were being realistic about it, will spread what's there. They're not going to scoop up the excess and move it somewhere else. Where with bags, you dump it out. You usually use less with bags than you do with bulk, just for that reason alone. And so we, even at the garden center, our guys, we love to use the bag mulch because it's cleaner, it's easier, it's no mess on the trucks, there's no waste. And typically with bulk, there can be a little bit of waste.
You'd have excess if you don't need
excess,
it all.
Right. If you have excess, you usually dump it on your beds, and that's when we get into volcano mulching around trees and some of the bad things that happen. So we're not telling you not to buy bulk. That is not what we just said. But we said sometimes, especially if you have a smaller amount or you want to control it easier, bags are easier.
Yeah, just do the math, figure, and always ask, what size bucket is that?
Mm-hmm.
749-B105 in and around the house. I am Tony Wurst with Bob Bard, and we were going to talk about Diplodia tip light in this past break, but obviously we got a little sidetracked, which sometimes we do, and we apologize for that. So when we come back, we'll pick up on that topic and what you need to look for and how you can treat that on your blue spruce globosus when we come back. Good morning and welcome back to In and Around the House. I am Tony Wurst with Bob Bard. And a great way to stay in touch with us, always and foremost, we always want you to give us a shout out at 749-B105. And if you want to send us an email, we'll certainly respond to that. And you can do that at inandaroundthehouse@b105.com. And if you want to just go at it about your leisure, and if you're out for a run today or some other time during the week, you can catch us on a podcast. And Alex does a great job keeping up with that, and amongst other things. And thank you, Alex. And you always do a great job there with our music. And I think it's Fleetwood Mac Day.
We're trying to get stuff.
I like that.
Oh, it is. And we got both of you, Tony and Alex, this week have birthdays on the same day, Tuesday, right?
Yes.
For both of you?
The 14th.
Wow.
What a coincidence.
And aren't you guys... And
happy birthday.
Thank you. Happy birthday right back at you.
Thank you very much. Ditto. 32. I was close.
32 and, years
and
apart? Separate?
No. I turned 32, and you turned 21, right?
That's right, 21.
Dang, I'm the old man in this group, huh?
Yes.
So,
that you are.
But I can't believe
we still
you guys
like
share
you.
The same birthday. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we're bulls, Taurus.
There you go.
Can you be a little stubborn?
My mom will tell you that I'm stubborn.
yeah, but I think we're easy to get along with. But if you really put up a wall or confront us, we'll get really stubborn on you quickly.
Yeah, you will.
But right. We're earth people, though.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
right. We're earth people. So that's why I am connected
well.
To the ground.
It's like, it's like having two brothers against me. You guys always working against me.
We won't beat up on you. It's all good, Bob.
But, going into the break, and we need to get to the tip light because it's something that is out there.
And you might see a little bit of it this year, especially with some of the damp weather that we've been experiencing. And that is Diplodia tip light.
Yep.
And usually when I see it, it's mostly on the blue spruce globosus. That's either a tree form or it's just the shrub itself. And
it's typically when the new growth is just barely out.
It turns tan.
Yep.
Actually, I've seen it when it actually, develops and gets going, the new tip growth, it will turn a very light tan and you can treat it rather easily and stop it in its tracks with chlorothalonil or daconil. It works really, really well. And just cut out that brown tip because it'll stay brown until it drops off or you cut it out. But
and if you don't want to spray, you can cut it out. But it is a good idea to go ahead and clean your pruner after each trimming. So go even a little deep, but you definitely want to give things a little bit of a haircut when that happens. Trim out that coloring. Go a little deeper than into the new growth, into the good growth. But definitely sterilize your pruners with some alcohol. Bleaching water.
You could use bleach and water, like one part bleached and 9 parts water.
Yeah, I think it's 1 to 9 is really all you need. But just Just wipe those pruners off, which is a good thing to do anyways. Anytime you're trimming out a diseased plant, just go ahead and sterilize and clean those pruners.
You know, and a lot of times there are even people in our industry, Bob, that will say, you don't have to do that. You know, I'm here to tell you, I totally disagree. And how would you feel if you went to your dentist and are using the tools and utensils and various things that they were using on the prior patient without sanitizing or cleaning those? You wouldn't dig that at all. So
if you see it, you can spray it. Once again, though, try to get it as a preventative if you're going to spray. Any of your fungicides, we like to see that. And try to prevent the disease before you get it. But if you do get it, you know, you definitely want to treat it. And then I do like trimming out and mechanically removing a lot of disease issues as opposed to spray first. So if I have a choice, if you can do it, I like to just remove them if you can.
I'm in favor of spraying too.
I'm not saying not to.
Trying to prevent anything from occurring.
I'm just saying if you already have the damage, I like to remove and then spray. That's what I would do.
Yeah, but and the other thing is too, it doesn't make what's there better, or it doesn't turn it back to its original color either. So
no.
Just keep that in mind.
No, and you're gonna see some other trees with some stuff. You know, I'm worried about seeing a little bit of fire blight on some different trees because of the timing of the leaves with all this moisture. You know, and that's a preventative spray for fire blight. You know, there's some other things out there that probably will happen. None of it is going to typically, none of it kills the tree typically. You know, the Rhizosphera needle cast on the blue spruce, that one's pretty tough, you know, and it will get it eventually if you don't prevent it. But
it's a tough one to get rid of.
But
that's why a lot of people in our industry, if you go out to various garden centers, you know, we carry blue spruces, but not in great numbers. And we'll tell you these things. We don't want to just sell you a tree without you knowing what to look for or what to be aware of. And a lot of times, you know, in our industry, you know, I know some people that just will flat out not sell blue spruces because of that reason. But, you know, if somebody wants to give it a shot, I think you should have that in your inventory.
I've got four at my house and they're fine and I love them. And I'm going to still personally, I tell people what's going on, but I personally will still plant one and then just keep an eye on it. Now, I've been lucky. I haven't had to spray mine. I haven't really noticed any disease. The only thing I do have on one of my hoopside blue spruce, and I know I have it, is some bagworms left over from last year, so I know I'm going to see them this year.
You know, there was an elderly lady in the store yesterday, and she brought me in a couple branch tips from a spruce.
Yep.
It was a blue spruce. And she's like, will it come back? And I'm like, you know, they don't needle back out.
No.
And I said, how bad is it? And she said, well, it looked really good. It, you know, almost as if it was recent. And I'm like, no, this has been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took the wind out of her sails and, you know, I felt terrible.
But you have to tell people the truth.
And she was like, is there something I can put on it? Just in that desperation mode and way of thinking. And it's like, you know, there are things that you can spray on it, but I would feel guilty if I sold it to you.
Right. Yeah. There's certain times where I will tell people the same thing. You know, this treatment is what you want, but at this point you're wasting your money. I think, unfortunately, once something gets too far along, you can't treat it anymore. Unfortunately, it becomes remove and replace.
Yeah. I felt bad for her, and it just something that she cherished and thought so much of that was no longer. And I thought, oh, I wish I could help you, but, and it was just, no, it won't come back. And you just should have seen the look on her face. I felt so bad. I have one for you.
Uh-oh.
You're going to like this one. It's kind of a funny story, but I love the soft touch hollies.
Yes.
You sell soft touch?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I have a few.
Okay. And, you know, they're crinatus, so they are the Japanese variety.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about this particular holly, the leaves on this particular holly, the Japanese, the crinatus, kind of almost have a boxwood leaf.
They look like a boxwood.
And last year, you know, there was an elderly couple that had purchased two from me, and they struggled. And a lot of times that's because when you first get them in the ground and it gets really hot, you need to make sure they have ample moisture to get well rooted in. That's essential.
They're a little more temperamental of all the hollies out there. So let's put that out. I don't sell many.
They're beautiful. I love them. I don't push them either. They can be a little temperamental that first year when you're trying to get them well rooted in. So, you know, I went out to their house and, you know, I looked at them and you could just see that, you know, they had gotten dry. And, you know, obviously, you know, we have a 1 year replacement warranty and I said, I will take care of them. So I had two this year, you know, set aside for them. And they came in and they picked them up and they took them back. And I got a phone call and bless her heart. She was very kind. And she goes, Tony, I don't think this is the same plant. And I was like, it is. And she said, well, this says just Ilex crenata. And the ones we had last year said Japanese holly. And I said, well, they are the same, you know, and she's like, I don't think they are. It was just a cute conversation, you know, and I said, they are. And she's, well, we want them to be smaller. And this says they get erect. And I said, no, they relatively small and rounded. And I said, you know, they're from a different nursery, you know, and every nursery, when you bring things in, we buy from various nurseries throughout the United States, and not every nursery trims and does certain things as other nurseries will, right?
They do.
And she goes, well, we really like the ones we had last year. And I'm like, they are the same.
Right.
I said, I can prune them for you a little bit to get them a little bit more rounded.
Right.
She goes, will you do that for me?
There you go.
But it was a great story. I got a chuckle out of it. And she was very concerned that they were the same.
Right.
And I love those kind of things. You know, I got a kick out of it.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, the good point in there, even to all the listeners out there, you know, you may see a boxwood at one place shaped like this. You may see one more round, one more loose. They're the same plant. It just depends on how the growers decided to trim, when they decided to trim, how large they
trim.
Yeah, sometimes people like them a little leggy. You know, it just depends on the grower. And you know, how many times have you ordered something and you're expecting, because you ordered it, you know, a month ago and it was this shape, and then here it comes from the same place and it's completely different.
Oh, I just had that the other day with the lilac trees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what came in early from Willow Way was last year's stuff, looking stellar and spectacular. And what came in second to that was things that had been trimmed up and
shaped up.
Yes. Hold on to that thought, because that's a very interesting topic, to say the least. 749-B105, in and around the house. I'm Tony Wirth with Bob Bard. We'll continue our gardening topics and discussions when we come back. Good morning, and just look outside and get a little glimpse of the that big yellow ball in the sky, because I understand by midday, he may not be out there. And a little bit of cloudiness throughout the afternoon, turning to maybe some possible PM showers. Let's hope not. We've been experiencing enough rain as it is, and we'll just see how this day pans out. And don't forget, it is Mother's Day weekend. Moms are special. No one will love you more than mom will. So make sure that you take the time out of either today or tomorrow to go and visit with mom. And even better, stop out and pick her up something bright and blooming at your local garden center and nursery.
Hey, you know, speaking of the weather, though,
yes.
This wasn't a bad week, because it was originally supposed to rain Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And if I remember, and I can't remember yesterday, Tuesday was awesome. Wednesday was pretty good. Thursday, we were able to work, even though it rained some. You know, it wasn't as bad of a week as they first predicted. And that's what's so funny about Cincinnati weather. What do they say? Don't worry about the weather in Cincinnati, because 5 minutes later, it's going to change.
I hear that, but I always say, if you don't like the weather, move.
I think if you don't.
There you go.
You know, but
that's
it does
simple,
look like the sun is coming out. You know, in the winter when we do this show, it's always dark, it seems like, almost the whole show. It just seems, you look out the window, it just seems dark. And this morning, even at like 6:23, I had mentioned to Alex, I'm like, do you notice how much brighter it's already getting early in the morning? I love that. Love it.
Yeah, but that kind of happens with daylight savings when we sprung forward.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It all happens.
And our days get
longer. It happens every year.
I know it happens every year. It's just exciting to look out and, you know, it's not even 7 o'clock in the morning and the sun's already starting to come out. It's just wonderful. I
almost
love it.
Comes up the same time every day.
We just put
a time with it.
It changes, Tony.
But it always comes up.
Well, yeah, it does. But
we take it for granted, don't we? Anyway.
Anywho.
Give me some good gift ideas for mom. Give me a, if you were, although your mom works in a garden center with you.
Right.
And, you know, see, Tina and I had this problem when we talk about.
You can't buy Tina flowers because she plays
right.
with flowers
all day.
It's
hard for you. It's hard for you to buy your mom flowers when she can just take something home, right?
Right, exactly.
So,
but for those who are not my mom or working at garden center,
what would you pick up? What would be the first thing that you would gravitate towards?
There would be two things I would go towards first.
No, one, just give me one.
All right, well, my first go-to would be a hanging basket.
Okay, and for what reason? Your mom prefers hanging baskets? She enjoys hanging baskets?
One, I like if they want to plant it in a container. It's big and beautiful to start with. So if they have their own planter and you give them a hanging basket, they can pull the hanging part off. They can pull the planter off and stick it in their own planter, and they have an instantly beautiful planter of their own.
Got it.
If they want to put it in the ground, they already have something that's big and beautiful, and mom can stick it in the ground, plant it, and it's already big. She doesn't have to wait for a few months for things to grow.
Got it. I like that idea. You know, there's a couple of things that you can do, and it's a flexible gift.
Yep. You just got to know what mom's kind of sun location is a little bit.
That's important, too.
Because if she's an all-shade girl, don't buy her a petunia.
No. You need to know those details. Very, very important. Mm-hmm. Now.
What about you? What would you go
I would go for something that mom can plant that will come back the following season so she can remember when you purchased that for her.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
So for me. And I'm a sucker, and I know that everybody in our industry, all of our peers, are going to say, there's too many of these, but I still love hydrangeas.
Absolutely.
There are so many different varieties of hydrangeas to choose from. It's not just the one that everybody is so commonly familiar with, and that is the macrophylla, the one that usually is pink or it's blue. Okay,
usually based a ball.
It's the big moped kind of flower. Mm-hmm. You know, there are the sun-loving hydrangeas. There are the oak leaf hydrangeas.
So what would be your go-to if you were buying one for your mom? Or if somebody came into you and recommended, hey, Tony, they're coming to the store. What would be a good hydrangea for mom? And she can put it either in a morning sun area or a full sun. She has either or.
Okay. This is a two-part question for me. It's not... And it involves
you didn't
two
give
different.
Me, let me answer two.
Well, no, you were giving me two items, but this is a two-part question. I would gravitate towards the oak leaves for a number of reasons because I like the foliage, you know, and I like the exfoliating bark and all that good stuff, and I like the seasons of interest. But I think for something with color that would just brighten mom's day, I would have to go for one of the macrophyllas, the mop heads.
Mm-hmm.
And one in particular, actually, I posted it on Facebook. I love the Less Dance series of hydrangeas. And one that I like a lot is called Blue Jangles. And the benefit of what we have with the florist part of our business that we have greenhouses, we also have a florist, that we can package this, put foil around it, put it in a decorative pot and a bow on it, and it's a gift item.
Right.
So for us, we have that ability to do both, and I would lean towards the macrophylla, the mop head, the blooms. They either get pink or they are blue.
Yes,
based
which
on pH level.
Probably the most popular one out there, and I do love. I have them at my house. Is the Endless Summer series?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love it. Now, oddly enough, I first planted mine on a kind of a western exposure, but it was kind of shaded by a pergola, and it stayed a little moist. So when I had them for the first two or three years, they really struggled. They almost looked like they were drying out, but it would always stay a little moist over there. And the roots, I think, were kind of drowning, but there was enough dryness to keep it alive. So what I did is I popped them up, moved them to a little sunnier spot, which you're not supposed to put them in 100% full sun. And they do wilt every single day, even after 15 years. I don't even really water them.
That's because of the heat.
Because of the heat.
Right.
But I moved them to a drier area, and all of a sudden, the flowers were abundant. And now what I love and I have fun with is I'll throw some aluminum sulfate to help make the soil a little more acid to make them blue. And then I wait 3 to 4 years and I let it wear off. And eventually they go blue and then a little bit purple pink. And then they kind of go almost pink. And then I go back and throw a bunch more on there. And then that way they change colors every year.
Do you mix that product? The aluminum sulfate is what Bob's talking about, which turns alkaline soils towards the acidic side, and the more acidic on a pH scale that you get, your hydrangeas will be on the blue side.
Only ones that are supposed to be blue and pink. Oh, and if you have a white one, it's still going to be white.
No, it's going to be white.
No matter what.
Those are the macrophyllas, you know, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So do you go by the directions on the bag or how, you know, aluminum sulfate, I know will do that the quickest versus just sulfur.
Right.
And a lot of times you have to be extremely careful with that. And hold on to
that question after the break.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to talk more about hydrangeas, maybe some issues that you might be or have been experiencing with hydrangeas in the past, and maybe why they're not blooming sometimes. 749-B105 in and around the house. I am Tony Wirtz with Bob Bard. We'll be right back. Good morning, and welcome back to In and Around the House. And while we were there in the break, we have Mark with us. He has a question about hosta. Is it Mark? Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. I know you're talking about hydrangeas, but last week you were talking about hostas, and you talked about the Komodo dragon and I think island breeze and guacamole.
Uh-huh.
Where are they available in the Cincinnati area?
Well, what part of town do you live in?
I'm in Delhi.
You know, you might try Robin's Nursery. You might try Schwab and White Oak over on that west side of town.
Okay.
And I would certainly give those three places a shot. Bob, you have any suggestions? Anybody else over there that comes to mind?
No, those are the three that came to mind. It's just there's so many thousand varieties of pastas. There's just no way to carry them all. You're going to have to do a little research and see. This is one I love, but I wasn't able to order. But I want some of these because I love that hosta. You just got to leave space because it gets huge.
Right. And, you know, Mark, just go online, call around some of the garden centers and just see who may have those in stock or in inventory currently. And if they're not, just ask if they can procure this particular variety for you. It gets quite large, and I love how the leaves, the way they look on this particular variety, the Komodo dragon, they just kind of have those striations, those lines that go from the stem all the way down the leaf, so to speak.
Yes.
You know, where the stem meets the leaf.
When I looked at them online, that was the interesting part that I saw about that. And I did cruise past Robin's and look through the variety that they had there, and they didn't have any Komodo dragon.
Okay.
I did find some stuff online. Most of that stuff is dry root.
It's bare root, right.
Yeah, bare
it's
root.
Bare root.
How hard is that to work with?
Well, if you were to do anything of the sort, I would suggest to you, if you ever do bare root and anything like that, is to do it late summer and plant them. And actually, once it's interesting, the hosta, I can't remember where I read this, but I thought it was an interesting fact. And I can't, you know, other than what I read, that they put on a lot of their root development sometime in August. So given that particular situation, along with going through a winter of vernalization, that hosta is going to be a stronger plant the next season, and that's the key. A lot of big growers, Mark, they'll plant their hostas late in the summer so they can just take them through one winter, that vernalization period, and they'll have a bigger and better, healthier plant the following season. If you know what, I'll get your contact information.
He could also, I was just thinking, he could also check Holscher Hackman.
Yes.
Over there on the west side, so you could check with him. Yeah. And see if they have any for you. You know, and if they don't be afraid to ask, can you order? Because a lot of garden centers are all still putting in orders. And they might be able to find that one for you. I had a lady looking for the Empress Wu, and I had grown some, sold out, but I was able to find her another one so I can get her that one, which is another big one that people kind of like. So
huge.
check Holscher Hackman as well. Give him a call over there.
Okay. Yeah, just call around, and I'm going to have Alex get your contact information, and I'll call around, see who might be sitting on some of these to help you out. There's so many different varieties of hosta, it's virtually impossible to have everyone in, but they're certainly out there, and they're available.
Well, I certainly appreciate your help. Thank you.
All right,
thanks,
Mark. For listening. Have a good weekend. Thank you.
You know, we have to make a note of that. We did a lot on hostas, but there are so many varieties. We need to make a note so we can do another show in another couple segments on hostas, because I love hostas, you know, and, you know, I'm kind of a hosta nerd. And
Speaking of hostas, you know, there's an event going on, as a matter of fact, and that is the Hosta Society Club of Cincinnati. Is that right?
Yes.
Cincinnati Hosta Society.
Mm-hmm. They're out by us, out in Amelia.
Yeah. So May 25th, they'll have a show going on from 10 a.m. until they're sold out. And that's hostas, perennials, and any of the other garden decor that they have. And that will be out there on Locust Lake Road in Amelia. That's close to you, isn't it?
It is very, very close to me. So not far at all. Do remember, it is cash only, though. There's not going to be credit card takers to kind of do some of that. But
cash and carry. Yep. Stop by National the ATM Hosta, on your way out.
The Hosta Association of Greater Cincinnati auction coming up. And once again, May 25th at 10 a.m. until sold out. So, you know, sometimes there's some really neat different varieties because people love hostas. And even if you have deer, you can prevent it. But, you know, hostas are an easy one to grow. You just stick them in the ground. They almost take care of themselves. And some of them are good attractors and pollinators and attract hummingbirds. So it's a good thing to have.
You got it. Hydrangeas.
Back at it.
What were you going to tell us before we went into the break? You said you had...
We were talking about fertilization or using the high yields aluminum sulfate, which is made by Fertilome, which is what I like to use. And I do that about every 2 to 3 years. And I do it because I like the change of colors. So I like the fact that 1 year they're all blue, and then as the years go on, they kind of fade out. Once they kind of start getting purple pink, then I go out and I throw more on. And your question to me was, now, do you measure that out? Do you mix it? How do you do that? To be honest and truthful, because that's the only the way I do it, I sprinkle a lot. Thanks, all Bob. The way around. You know, I don't measure it out.
You just sprinkle it on top of the soil surface
on top
and let
of the
it work
mulch,
its way into the root
and
system.
Then just let Mother Nature water it in. Got I it. Usually, because it's on a slight slope, not much, I usually do it on the high side. Because that way, it kind of, as it drains down, it kind of runs down to where all the roots are.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not fertilize my hydrangeas.
And that's important. And
when
why?
I do. And I don't fertilize the hydrangeas at all. I only use the aluminum sulfate.
Now, but that's important. Do you know why?
Yes, I do. Because if you mix the two, neither one
right.
work.
Right. The phosphorus keeps it. It locks up the hydrangea from pulling in the aluminum sulfate.
Right. So that's why I only do that one. I do not fertilize my endless summer hydrangeas. Now, my regular hydrangeas, like I have a Bobo, I have a strawberry sundae, and I think a strawberry, vanilla strawberry.
Vanilla sundae.
Strawberry sundae.
Strawberry sundae?
Mm-hmm.
I get mixed up. There's vanilla strawberry.
Vanilla strawberry, that's the bigger one.
And
strawberry sundae's the short one.
I have to look that up. I have both in the garden center. I just, every time I look, I will get those two names interchanged all the time.
Yes, but they do, they're two different plants, but they look similar. They're basically related. One's the little sister, one's the big brother, you know, basically. But they look similar. But I don't put any acid or aluminum sulfate on
Not
those because there's no point.
Right.
It doesn't
right.
change the color.
Right.
It won't change anything. And so I use the Start and Grow from Fertilome as a fertilizer. And, you know, Espoma has one. But, you know, I like that fertilizer. And I think it does really well for those type of hydrangeas.
You know, there's a hydrangea that comes to mind, and it's a standout, and it's an old one. It's been around a while, and that is Pinky Winky.
Pinky Winky's a good one.
You aren't a kidding. You talk about some incredible blooms, the color on those blooms. Those paniculatus rock.
And I mean, if you have full sun, it'll grow, and it'll grow like crazy, and it'll be big and beautiful. The bees love it. I mean, the bees will be all over it in the summer. They absolutely love it.
So, you know, we were talking about the Let's Dance series, and that is the particular hydrangea that I posted on our Facebook page. Check mm-hmm. it out. The Let's Dance series is an interesting series because it's more of a compact type of series of hydrangeas. They're around the, you know, the one I posted is like 1 to 2 feet, a prolific bloomer. The other's like 2 to 3, just on average. There's a whole series of those. They were developed up in Michigan, and they were, I understand, they went through a rigorous testing phase to make sure that they'll bloom on new growth when the time comes during the growing season.
Yeah, I think they were developed by Proven Winner, right?
I believe they're a Proven Winner, yes.
I believe they are. So.
And, you know, a lot of us have issues, and when you were talking about your endless summers,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I hear a lot of people say, you know, and that's one of the repeat bloomers. They bloom on old growth the prior season, old wood. And this year's new growth. We'll talk more about that. 749-B105 in and around the house. I'm Tony Works with Bob Bard. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to In and Around the House. I'm Tony Works with Bob Bard, and we've been talking a little bit about hydrangeas, and that's because it's Mother's Day weekend. And when I think of Mother's Day, I think of hydrangeas. I even think of my mom, who I wish was still here with me. Unfortunately, she isn't. I would do anything just to have a five-minute conversation with her. And for those of you who still have your mom, make sure that you get out and you visit with her this weekend. Just pick up the phone. If she's out of town, just say hello. Say, Mom, I love you. I'm headed your way.
Give her a big hug if you can, yes. Because if you don't know, you probably put her through some heck when you were growing up.
You think so?
I got to give my mom a big hug and tell her I love her because I didn't do anything bad. But, you know, moms never quit worrying. That's one thing. Like, we're at my son. He's had senior night last night. And so she's watching my son who happened to get, he was pitching last night. And she was a nervous wreck even for her grandson. I mean, and you could just see how unconditional love is supposed to be because she's just worried for him. And, you know, she just wants to be there. And my mom is just, she's awesome. I just got to say it because no matter what goes on, she always looks for the best in everybody. I think if she taught me anything, that's probably one of the best things she ever taught me was just look for the bright side.
You've never looked for the best in me.
Well, now, you don't deserve it.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
Just kidding.
But you're right.
I always
mom
even in your golf game when it's not as good as it should be.
Thank you. But you're right. No one will love you more than mom. So definitely, this is her weekend. You better pick something up for her. Don't just drop it off and leave. Spend some time. Just cut up, reminisce, talk about the old days. You know,
and a hydrangea is a great gift if you want something, because you had mentioned early in the show about buying something mom can see year after year after year, and a hydrangea is one of those that can do it. And there are so many good varieties.
You know, do you have a favorite variety of hydrangea?
I do. I do. I love two different ones. I love the strawberry sundae, and I love Bobo.
So you like the paniculatas?
I have in the summer at my house.
Right.
I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the ones that I know are consistent bloomers. Quick fire, little quick, little lime, limelight. I don't really have a favorite because I think they're all good, the ones that are good, consistent bloomers.
You know, there's a hydrangea that we rarely ever seldom talk about.
What's that?
The climbing variety, the
petiolaris. And why don't we? I know why I don't talk about it as much.
Well, it's just I think it's kind of the forgotten child, so to speak.
It's the Cinderella? Is that what you're telling me?
It's an interesting species. It really is. And it, too, the bark will exfoliate on it. The blooms are a little different. It's a climber. It doesn't destroy brick or get into the mortar and tear anything up. The one that I saw that comes to mind, I saw it at Bouchard Gardens out in Victoria, up in Canada,
okay,
near Vancouver. And it went across, it was a massive wall on a building,
mm-hmm,
and it was in full bloom, and it was spectacular.
I think the reason you don't see it a lot around here is because the ones that I have seen or even sold and planted are not a profuse blooming hydrangea shrub.
It depends, but you're right. But I wouldn't, to me, the bloom isn't, it's okay.
It's the foliage.
It's not what I'm going after. It's the foliage, mm-hmm, and it's the look. It's something different that will climb.
Right.
So that in itself, and it you got to have a little more light for that to really give you some prolific blooms.
Right.
But and that's why when I was up in the upper Northwest, I saw lobelia and various things out in the full sun. But keep in mind, it's a different type of sun. It's cooler.
Right.
So the growing conditions are totally different, but they'll do well here.
So that brings me to our gardening problems and solutions that we always talk about. How many times do you get, why is my hydrangea not blooming?
Oh, boy. A couple of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, you know, how much sunlight is it getting? You do need some sunlight. You need a fair amount of sunlight, preferably morning up to early afternoon.
Of them even full sun.
I'm talking about the mop heads.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
All right, let's
So let's talk about the mop heads. Those are the ones.
Mop heads specifically.
Those are the ones I think that most people have a difficult time with.
I agree.
And these are the macrophyllas. These are the ones that you're accustomed to seeing them blue or pink, depending upon the pH level of the soil. But let's talk about the bloom periods with these. You have to have some sun. If it's too much shade, you're not going to get it. And in too much shade, here's the other problem that I find that's present. That if you go through a cold winter and you experience some dieback, because it's in too much shade, it doesn't have the opportunity to warm up quicker, to where it starts putting on and fleshing out with new growth and starting to bloom on a new growth. Mm-hmm. It's a later response.
That's what happened last year.
Yes.
My endless summers didn't bloom until Labor Day, and they're in full sun. So those who were in a shady area, I'm sure were even later than that, because we had the cool spell up till, I mean, April 30th was really cold last year, and seemed like Mother's Day was a little cooler, you know, and then we finally warmed up, but it took a while. And because we didn't have that heat, exactly like you just said, they took forever to produce the bloom.
And that's what it is. So it's almost like a delayed response.
Mm-hmm.
Think about if you were up north and you had a shorter growing period or season. You know, we have a little bit longer growing season, so we do get to see them come on at the tail end and perhaps give us some bloom.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's a delayed bloom response.
Absolutely.
And it has a lot to do with light.
And I think a lot has to do with moisture, kind of like my experience on the ones that I had originally. I had put in an area, it was a raised bed, but it was moist around it. So the root system stayed damp and cool, so the plant wasn't as vibrant. And I would get one bloom or two blooms on a shrub, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't very, very healthy. And so I did at the proper time. I dug it up. I moved it to a sunnier location, to a slightly drier location where, especially when it was a baby and it was young, I could control the moisture a lot better. And all of a sudden, I went from one or two blooms on five plants to hundreds. Now, every year varies a little bit. That's just going to be natural from, you know, weather and anything that goes on. But they're a consistent bloomer, and I'm getting enough to where people walk in the backyard when they're in bloom and go, wow, look at that. And it was all just because of the location.
It's always about location.
Location,
you know,
location.
It's like real estate, definitely. You know, and two, a lot of times, you know, some of the newer varieties of the hydrangeas, they are reblooming varieties, and they're very unique in relation to some of the older varieties like Nico Blue that would only bloom on last year's wood, last year's growth.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times if you go through a severe winter, those bloom buds will freeze out.
That's a good point, because that was a variety everybody liked, the Nico Blue.
Oh, it's a beautiful, right?
But if you did, and we do on occasion, where you got to cut them back to the ground. Like this year, they died off pretty hard. Mine are coming back more at the base than they are from old growth. Mine are coming back on more new. So I know there's going to be a bloom, but it may not be as prolific as if they had come back on old and.
All right. Well, hold on to that thought, because I think this is a show on everything hydrangeas at this point. And we will continue this conversation. Don't forget, it's Mother's Day weekend. You better get out to your local garden center and nursery and pick up something for Mom. Don't make me come out there and get a hold of you. 749-B105, I am Tony Works with Bob Bard. We'll be right back. Good morning, and welcome back to In and Around the House. Enjoy some of that sunshine out there, because we may not see it later on. And it looks like we're going to cloud up a little bit come midday. Maybe a chance of some evening, late evening, I hope, showers.
You hope.
Well, I hope it's later in the day, because it's Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, okay.
And
I don't want
Mom's weekend to get rained out by any means.
If you were going to hope for rain, we were going to have a problem.
Well, it looks like it's headed our way, but I'm hoping it's later in the day.
I agree. Because it looks beautiful out our window now. Man, what a beautiful morning it looks like. And here we are in the studio. I wish we could do a show outside. Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, we'll try that sometime.
Outside. On location somewhere.
We can do that outside.
Yeah.
And I'm Tony Works with Bob Bard, and we were talking about hydrangeas. And before we continue that discussion, we have Tina with us on the line. Good morning, Tina. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well. Happy Mother's Day to you. Are you a parent?
I am.
Awesome.
And a mother of six.
Awesome. Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's your weekend.
Thank you.
Get them to take you out to the garden center and say, hey, splurge on me. Right?
Actually, my husband took me out the other day, and we bought some flowers, and the kids are coming over this evening, so we'll see.
Sounds like a great day. What can we help you with? What's going on?
I have some little bite holes in my hostas.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what I should be treating my hostas with.
Oh, you know, I saw a little bit of this the last couple of days in the garden center. A lot of people are coming in, and what you're experiencing are slugs, snails, that because of the moisture that we've had, it It's like a smorgasbord for those guys. And when it's wet and moist, they're out, they're active, and they come out just after dusk, and they work their way up the stem. It's like going up the highway to that juicy, tender leaf, and that's what's plaguing you. So a couple of things you can do, and Bob, you can chime in anytime. You know, it's kind of fun to put a little cap of beer out there, and they love the yeast in beer, and that kind of, you know, that's a telltale sign. That's what's plaguing them. And they'll go for that little bit of beer and the yeast, and they'll drown in it. Some things you can do is put diatomaceous earth around the base of your hostas. There's also some snail bait products that you can spread underneath your hostas, and they are very, very effective in keeping the snails and slugs off of them.
Yeah, the high-yield slug bait that they sell, it's a really good one because it covers a lot of ground, even though it's a really small bag. I remember looking at the label and seeing this little tiny bag, and it covered a ton of
area.
Yeah,
it's like around close to 4,000 square feet, if I remember correctly.
And it works. We occasionally will get some in the garden center, and I'll use some of the slug and snail bait. It does a great job of getting rid of that. So any of those solutions will work well.
I'm close to Enfield's nursery. Do you think that would be something that he carries?
Should.
Mm-hmm. I'd say he may not carry the high-yield version. He might carry Sluggo as another one that's out there. So there's other types out there. But yeah, I think any of those would work fine and really should take care of your solution.
All right. Thank you very much.
No, you're welcome. Have a great weekend.
I wouldn't take care of a solution. It would take care of a problem, and it would be the solution.
I was going to say,
you know,
problem.
I'd be afraid to put beer out in the yard and your yard. I'd be afraid you'd be out there trying to take care of it.
Yeah, I might. It's kind of funny. They will gravitate towards it.
They do. You know, I've seen it work.
Something else, too, about, slugs and snails and around hostas. You know, and if you happen to have pets, there are some pet-friendly varieties as well, and they can get sick with the traditional products that are out there. You know, and I only say this, if your pets are always in your garden and moseying around, then I would go for the pet solution products. You know, that are safer for your pets and are very effective. And, you know, Bonide makes one safe for pets. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind as well. If your pets really aren't in your garden, and then I really wouldn't worry about it. So I've not really heard anything bad about these products, but they will certainly keep your hostas looking very, very nice. So it's either the snails and slugs or it's the deer when it comes to hostas.
Yeah, one of the two. And both of them you can prevent. Deer, you got to stay up a lot. You got to stay after a lot more frequently.
Yeah.
So. But, you know, before the call, and we love the calls, but we were still talking hydrangeas. And we were talking about the problems and solutions of the lack of blooms. And, you know, we talked about moisture-related. We talked about sun. Is there anything else that you can think of when it comes to that?
You know, when you prune.
Yes, that's what I was going for.
So a lot of times, you know, some of the varieties that, you know, that will bloom on last year's growth, we call it old wood, or this year's new growth. You know, refrain from pruning those late in the fall. That's not a good idea. I know sometimes we feel compelled. We have to tidy everything up and get everything cleaned up and looking at its best before we go into the winter months. But when you do that, you definitely are going to cut out some of those bloom buds for the next season.
Well, especially with like the endless summer series that I have, I like to wait until spring to trim because, one, I want to see how much dieback on that old stem from last year I had. This year it seems to be a lot, so they're going to get cut back pretty hard, and everything's going to be on new wood. But there has been years where it's been milder through the winter, and I've gotten quite a bit of growth on the old wood. And then that way, it feels like I'm getting a double shot of blooms, and I think those are the years they typically bloom a little heavier for me.
Well, how are your how's your shrub looking this year?
It has died back really hard, and a lot's coming from the base. So I am due to get in there and trim them fairly soon. Now, my strawberry sundae that I have close to it, it's looking great. There's no dieback on that, which there typically isn't as much, you know, but I'm very happy with how that's coming out.
What about some of the smooth leaf hydrangeas like Annabelle and Incredible? I mean, Annabelle is an old-time favorite.
The big white bloom.
Yes, that's an old-time favorite.
It's so big, sometimes it falls over.
It gets a little floppy. I was going to say, you need to kind of give them a little added support sometimes.
And, you know, pay attention to your hydrangeas because some do better in full sun and some don't. The Annabelle's one that I think morning sun at the most is best. I think if you put that one in the afternoon, the leaves are so big that, you know, the edges start getting crispy in August.
If you're not keeping up with adequate moisture for it.
You know, and speaking of that, that's something really funny that I do with my hydrangeas, and I always tell our customers. So mine are on a full western exposure, full sun. So every summer, even after 15 years, they still wilt every night. I do not water them every night. If you refrain one time and go out later that night when the heat's gone, you'll see they start to draw up enough moisture that the leaves are starting to get strong.
And that's a telltale sign right there. If you walk out the next morning and it's perked back up, it's not a moisture issue.
Right. And it really isn't. I've really encouraged all of our customers, and I want to encourage the listeners, if they have some and they see it wilting that night, refrain. Wait. If it stays a little wilty for, you know, 4 or 5 more hours, it's not going to kill the plant.
Yeah. No, they don't want to stay wet either, but it's kind of ironic that the name hydrangea, you know, means water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting. They want some, but they don't want to sit in it. And certainly do not keep watering it and watering it when you see it wilting during the daytime.
How do you feel about the ruby slippers hydrangea, the dwarf oak leaf that kind of gets white with the and then turns pink or reddish color?
You know, for me, I think it's a spectacular species when I see photographs of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been out for what, 4 years maybe?
Yeah, 4 or 5.
And I've had some people tell me out in the open, it doesn't seem to fare as well as it is if it's up close to the house and protect it.
Or I don't think now, it does well in a western exposure. It's too hot.
For me to, you know, and it's an oak leaf variety that it Bob's is talking about. Ruby slippers, it opens up white, kind of turns a reddish hue, a pinkish hue as we progress throughout the summer months. For me, the jury's out, and I really have not talked to enough people who have purchased this particular variety to get a good feel for how it really performs. I've just had a couple people tell me that they've had a couple out in the yard, you know, somewhat open exposure, and one's doing really well and one's struggling. And I think the oak leaf in general,
I never recommend to anyone to put in full sun or out in the middle of the yard unless it's under a canopy, you know, kind of under the canopy of trees where some sunlight's still getting to it. But my experience is great hardy plant as long as it's in the right spot.
You know, I have to say there's some truth to that, but for example, I'm going to make this real quick. For me, Snow Queen, when I had Snow Queen in the shade, less of a prolific bloomer, stayed a little smaller in size, its stature. Out in the full sun, it got every bit of 6 foot tall, 6 foot wide with about 200 blooms on it. And you take it from there, champ. I don't know what to say. But
yeah, no, I mean, I think you just got to try it. So hang on to that. I got another question for
you
about
it.
Another hydrangea that's out there that we've sold in the past. I want to get your take on it. So, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Bob and Tony on In and Around the House on B105.
Good morning and welcome back to In and Around the House. I am Tony Works with Bob Bard. And don't forget, it's Mother's Day weekend, and spend some time with Mom. Moms are special, and get out to your local garden centers and nurseries. There's plenty, plenty of blooming things that you can pick up for Mom, and we'll talk about some of those gift-giving ideas in the last hour of the show. We're not going to leave you hanging. We're going to help you pick up something that she's going to cherish and love for a long time.
And if anybody's got any good ideas that they want to share, this is the time we want to hear so we can share it with the listeners.
Yeah, and or if you've already picked something up, what did you pick up? We're so interested to hear.
Going into the break, we did not discuss this in any of our prep for the show, so I'm surprising you. I always do this to you at least once in the show.
You like to put me on the spot.
I do. I like to try to put you on the spot.
Somebody came into the garden center the other day and asked me about this.
I always like to put you on the spot at least once in the show.
Okay.
So, you know, there's not an older one, but it's been out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's not talked about as much as when it first came out. It was really popular. You saw it in magazines. You saw it advertised, and it's called Lady in Red Hydrangea.
Bob, that's a good one. That's a great performer. And this is one of those topics we can come up with some new tagline that would say, where are they now? And Lady in Red is one of those. Where is she now?
Mm-hmm.
Great question. And I can only think of one nursery that we have access to pick up this particular hydrangea. And Lady in Red is it's a lace cap, as a matter of fact. Very sturdy, upright. I love the dark stems. Has that reddish, dark color to it. Very attractive. The pinkish, if I remember right, there's those pinkish florets in the center. and the white, the petals on the outer side of that, and lace caps are flat from a blooming standpoint.
I thought this one was a little rounded too.
More of a lace cap from what I remember.
Okay.
And they'll turn red, and hence the name Lady in Red. And you have those nice dark, almost a reddish black kind of stem. I've had a lot of customers speak favorably of this particular variety. And again, it's one of those, Bob, that where are they now? You just don't hear them talked about or touted like they used to be.
Besides the bloom, what makes her special?
I think she's reliable.
Yep.
Two, it's the stem of this particular variety. It's very attractive. It looks good against the green foliage.
Yep.
And I love lace caps. I think lace caps are very attractive when you're looking at them because of their flatness of the bloom shape. I think, you know, they just have an appearance about them that just radiates. I like its size.
Yep, smaller.
I think it's going to be around 3-4 foot easy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It says in the books 3 foot tall, 2 foot wide, but it does get bigger.
It does get bigger than that. And, Mary Lou Westling, one of our customers, I know that she was looking for another one. It was a couple of years ago and just spoke so highly of this particular variety. And, it's one of those things. That's why I like the garden center. When people come in and they'll talk about something that you don't see as often and you remember it from years ago. It's just those conversations make these particular plant varieties well worth discussing.
Yeah, when it first came out, it was really popular. It's really died down. I don't stock it as much because, you know, we can only stock so many hydrangeas, and there's hundreds of varieties out there. The only disadvantage of this, but I've never experienced it, it is rated only as zone 6, which is what we are, but I find it very hardy. And it seems to grow very well. I didn't have really problems with replacements on this, even though it's still considered a zone 6, which is what we are. But sometimes that's pushing it, you know.
Here are one of those things. Going back to the discussion about the Japanese crinata, the soft touch holly. You know, if you see where it says Japanese holly, or you see the term crinata, you know, they're one and the same. And you know, tagging plants is a very interesting thing, and not every nursery will tag a plant the same as another nursery. And the reason why I'm saying this is because you've seen where it's a zone 6. I have seen where it goes as far north as 5.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you start getting all these conflicting bits and pieces of information, which makes it even more important for us people, or for us who love gardening. Be it you're the avid gardener or the novice gardener, we all learn a lot from one another. And sharing this kind of information, you know, it's done well or it hasn't done well, is so, so important.
Well, this is exactly why you go to the independent garden centers, the people who know what they're talking about, as opposed to just going in by yourself. You see a rack of them somewhere and you don't know, because you might look at that and you're going to love the plant because it is a beautiful plant. But if you read the label, you know, and there are some hydrangeas that won't live here. They're zone 9, 8, you know, and you'll see, I've seen them in garden centers where people are bringing in stuff that I know is not going to live. And that's why you get to the independent garden centers, because they are going to tell you, like this plant, it's a zone 6 on the label, but I know it's hardier than that because I've seen it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, point in case, we sell during the Easter holiday, you know, forced hydrangeas, and they are just that. They're a tender perennial, and we will convey that to the customer. You know, they'll ask, can I put this outside? You can try your best to protect it or leave it in a container. It's been forced, you know, this particular hydrangea, it's more of a tender perennial. So,
and the Lady in Red, just to kind of close up with that, is this one you prune as soon as the bloom dies, because it does bloom on the new wood. I believe, isn't this the one that blooms on the new wood, if I remember correctly? Yes. So old wood. It blooms on the old wood, not the new stuff.
It's a great performer. Yeah.
So, and then there's one more I really want to talk about before we close it up. And once again, I didn't prepare you for this, but I love, it's a consistent bloomer. It's a zone 4 to 8. It's hardy no matter what winter seems to throw at it. And that is Limelight.
I do. Limelight, Little Lime.
And Limelight's big. They got to remember that.
Yeah, you know, and here's something I also want to ask you. Because it's so big And because those blooms become quite large, and these blooms that we're talking about open up white and kind of take on a very light lime color.
Yes.
You know, hence the name Limelight. And I'm also going to take this across the street to the vanilla strawberry. The blooms are so big, and when you get heavy rains, they kind of have a tendency to plop.
Yep.
And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I think as you pick up a young Limelight or a young vanilla strawberry, what we're trying to do is prune it in such a way year after year that we can build the base of that shrub up with a woodier stem to hold those paniculata blooms.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
No, I totally agree with it because it gets so big and so heavy, especially when it's young. That's why when they're older and more mature, they are a beautiful, beautiful flower. But once again, the reason I brought this one up, this is one that will bloom on new wood. So you want to prune it late winter or early spring and clean it up because this is a different. So I gave you two examples, one that blooms on old, which is your Lady in Red, and one that blooms on new. So you, and the whole thought behind that was that way you pay attention to what you're getting so you understand when you prune things the right way, you're going to have consistent flowers.
Hold on to all the gardening thoughts and ideas that you might have. That's going to wrap it up there for our hydrangea discussion. And if you want to share any of that with us still, feel free to do so because we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about a couple other things here going into the upper last part of the hour of the show. That's going to be What Plant Am I When We Come Back. I'm Tony Wirtz with Bob Bard, and we got to take another quick break, and we'll see you in a moment. Good morning, and welcome back to In and Around the House. I'm Tony Wirtz, alongside here with Bob Bard, and it's a beautiful morning thus far. It's a shame it won't stay like this. And if you're just getting up and joining us, thank you. And we've been covering a lot of ground this morning, as a matter of fact. We just talked quite a bit about hydrangeas, and next up, our topic is What Plant Am I? We do this every Friday. I was a little late posting the second go-around of photos yesterday, so I tried to switch this one up a little bit, put a little bit different spin on it, and only take a picture of the foliage first. And we did have some people that guessed it right off the bat. And our plant of the week, or not our plant of the week, What Plant Am I? I'm sorry about that, is the black and blue salvia. And Bob, I had to make a comment that you're always tough on me, saying I make it a little too easy. So that's why I took a picture of this without the bloom, to put a little different flair or spin on it and follow up with some photographs of the bloom. This is a great, great annual, is it not?
It is, and it's big. It's big. You need to make sure you leave room for this particular annual. When you buy it, it's not going to be real large, but this is one of those. Give it some space and let her get to her size, and you will be very, very happy.
Yeah, there's two types of this particular variety, and they're very similar in bloom. One is called Black and Blue, which was the original, and now there's one called Black and Bloom. And I think, you know, I know when they hybridize and breed various varieties, you know, they're saying, hey, this has got bigger blooms or longer bloom power. I think the real difference between these two that I just mentioned are the textures of the foliage.
Yes.
And other than that, my opinion, they're almost identical. I think it would be very difficult for most people to say, hey, which variety it is, but I know which one it is based on the foliage. But this is one of those that is just so prolific with blooms, and they last a while too. They don't just bloom and fade out rather quickly. They last a while, and you'll notice that too when the hummingbirds visit it every morning and every afternoon. I kid you not. And this is one of those testimonials that doesn't always have to be a red trumpet-shaped blooming plant for the hummingbirds to be attracted to it.
Absolutely. Good pollinator, beautiful plant, fairly easy to grow. Make sure you have a big container because this isn't going to be good in a little 4-inch pot all summer long.
No, not at all.
It's going to put out some roots.
It will easily achieve 20 inches, give or take.
Oh, easily. Easily. But the hummingbirds will absolutely be drawn to this one. And I believe when we had Steve from the zoo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Foltz, thank you. I lost his last name. We were talking about the black and blue salvia. We'd mentioned it, and he said that the zoo likes it for the pollinator as well. I think it's even on one of their lists.
Oh, it has to be. Yeah. This is a standout, if of all standouts, you know, when it comes to salvia. And, you know, salvias are kind of taking center stage now, almost like a few years ago how the begonia had just started ramping up, you know, as a result of the Wallerina variety of impatiens taking a hit and being knocked down to the canvas with downy mildew. You know, it brought a resurrection with different varieties of begonias. And we've all been gravitating towards begonias, especially those who like the shade garden. But salvias are starting to ramp up a little bit.
They are. They are. I think you posted one rockin' fuchsia a few weeks ago. People can scroll back and check out on our Facebook page, which is a beautiful one. But once again, 2 to 3 foot tall. Make sure you space it out about 18 inches apart because it is going to get some size to it. But these are great in bigger mass plantings too. You know, this is one of those where, you know, if you've got space to plant 4 or 5 or even 8 or 10, man, what a show does it put on. You know,
it's incredible. You know, there's another interesting thing or factor about the salvia, black and blue, black and bloom. I've had a lot of people tell me that that plant came back. And when I first heard it, I'm like, I just kind of nodded. And I'm thinking more than likely it, you know, like most annuals, they go through their bloom cycle. They do what they're supposed to do. And as the year ends, they die off. And what's left behind are future generations via the seed that's dropped or left behind. And there's people like, oh, no, it behaves like a perennial.
And sometimes you get lucky.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of people say that. One of our followers on Facebook, William Shipley, said the same thing. So I have never personally planted it in a ground to where it came back or even a container. I just always clean out my containers at the end of the season, and I'm in there with something else. But that's kind of encouraging to know that you might have it the following season. And if you do, it's going to be even more of a larger plant.
Yeah.
So it's a great performer.
You know, it reminds me of one, not to pull the thunder from that, but you remember one, kind of was real popular at first, but Señorita Rosalita.
Cleome.
Yeah, man, that was a big one, but what a good flower.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the size of the Cleome, Señorita Rosalita, is incredible. And you know, going back to that could be a thriller in a combination pot.
Both of these could be.
Yes.
Going back to our whole talk from last week, but they could both be thrillers, and they really are. I mean, they're not going to be spillers, and they're not going to be fillers unless the container is just enormous. They are going to be thriller, but they're going to be good, consistent bloomers. But they're also one of those you got to be patient with. When you put it in, it's not that big yet, but it's going to get there.
I agree.
Now, what do you think of fertilization on the black and blue salvia? How do you like to do those?
Well, you know, if they're in containers, I am going to go to my trustworthy standby approach, and that's using Osmocote.
Yep. So I like using the Jacks, too.
And I like using Jacks. You know, I'm all over the board with it. You know, I really am. I have a couple favorites. Three of my favorite fertilizers for containers, window boxes, is Osmocote. If you don't take that approach, you know, I like Jacks. And thirdly, I like Monty's.
Yep.
You know, Monty's plant food. So those are my three go-tos for the most part when it comes to annuals. And you're not going to go wrong there. And you do need to feed your plants, especially if they're in containers. And Bob, even more so, you know, when you're watering often or it's hot, just think about it. We flush those nutrients through the pot and they drain out the bottom. In addition to what the plant's taking in, they need to be fed. 749-B105, in and around the house. I'm Tony Works with Bob Bard. We're going to continue our discussion when we come back out of the break. I think we're going to get into some annuals again because last week we got a little jacked up and excited, and we're going to continue that course when we come back.
Good morning. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony Works and Bob Bard. And what a beautiful day it is out there. The sun is shining. Might go away later in today as the day goes on. We're supposed to get a few more clouds, but get out there and enjoy the day. I also want to give a shout-out to the guys in Walton at AutoZone for having us tuned on so the listeners can come in.
Where did that come from?
One of my buddies who's out, he goes, hey, I just walked in AutoZone out in Walton, Kentucky, and you guys are on the radio. So to the guys in Walton, thank you for listening.
That's
and
funny.
We appreciate all our listeners. And I love it. I absolutely love to hear when people are listening to
if
the show.
If somebody's listening to us in so AutoZone, they got to like gardening is all I can say.
Hey, so to those guys, thank you.
You know, even funnier, there's a guy down at Bob Summerall in Fort Wright, and I was in there one morning talking, and he's like, are you on the radio? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, I recognize your voice. He goes, I listen to you every Saturday morning. I said, ah, bull. He goes, oh, no, really. So he goes out into the Bay Area, and he pulls in some of his buddies out there working. He goes, tell this guy what I listen to every Saturday morning. And these guys, they come up to the door, and they're like, you know, some flower show. I started cracking up.
Yeah, I mean, I've had people from the IRS down in Covington. They'll tell me, they'll send me a text message. Hey, we're listening to you on the radio. So thanks to all our listeners.
You ought to be listening.
We love you guys. So thank you for listening to us.
Hey, you know what? Guys, you know, guys like the garden. It's a unisex world out there. Everybody likes the garden.
You know what's cool?
It doesn't matter.
You're right. You know what else has been really cool that I've noticed this spring already? You know, people talk about, oh, the millennials, they don't want to do nothing. They're lazy. That's not true. That is not true. I can tell you for a fact, millennials are coming in the garden center because they care. If they have a house, they care about their yard. They care about flowers. It is a lot more than they're getting credit for. So those millennials, we thank them for coming in.
Alex, will you get him on film? I mean, he's like, you think you're in the courtroom right now.
The jury is out.
Judge Bob Bard.
The verdict is in.
You're killing me.
The millennials are,
you know,
the millennials are gardeners.
I have to say, I agree with you. I have seen more young families, couples, new homeowners coming into the garden center than ever before.
They're realizing the advantage of the independent garden center. And I think for a short time, we may have, you know, everything's cyclical. So I think we kind of, you know, some people, you know, oh, it's just so much easier to go to a convenient, to go to this store. But they realize there is a huge advantage to coming to the experts who do it every day.
You know, the millennials, you know, that generation, a lot of them are becoming homeowners, and I'm seeing a lot of them in the garden center, which, and thank you, by the way, and thank you for trusting in us. And, you know, when I sit down or if I just chat with, you know, that age group of people, you know, like you said, everyone thinks they don't want to do any yard work. You know, I'm kind of starting to see a change in that. And when we kind of talk about a landscape design or ideas, I tell them, I want you to take home these ideas, these plants that we talked about, and just go over them with one another. You know, go out there on Google and look them up. And I said, I want you to purchase plants today, but I also want you to do it to what your liking is. It's your canvas, it's your artwork. And I want you to do this one time. I want you to be successful with it. And I want you to have a positive experience. And they'll look at me like, wow, you know, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do just that.
Yeah. Customer service is important. And I know you guys offer it. All our advertisers that you hear on this radio, we don't just advertise because they pay for it. If you and I are talking about them, it's because we know them and we trust them as well.
Absolutely. And you're going from A to Z with all of our local leaders across the board. You know, the guys at Baton's, you know, Scott Maddox, you at Bard's, Jackson Florist,
Burger Farm,
Jim at Lakeview,
Margie,
you know,
at Bushelman.
Tim Mallory at Advantage Roof, Arlinghouse Heating and Air, which is starting to warm up. We'll be talking with those guys shortly, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and if we missed anybody, we didn't do that purposely, but we believe in these guys. We believe in these people, and there's a lot of integrity that's involved with these local leaders, and we need to support our local businesses, even if they're not garden centers or what have you, even the corner grocery store. Keeping things in your community is very, very important, and all of us are proud of where we live and the communities and townships and cities and so forth. Support your local businesses.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about everything. I know we're doing gardening, and we're going to get into all the annuals and stuff like that. But, you know, don't forget about, you know, Meese with all the tile down
there.
There
you go.
Cohen for the recycling. You know, there's a lot of that can be going on right now. You know, Jason from Herman called in the other day to help us out with a question. You know, the community is a tight community, and especially this show, our listeners, our advertisers. You know, you and I, it's a tight community, and we love it. You know, we love partnering up with the zoo and Steve, and, you know, down there, they got the butterfly exhibit. You know, we're part of the community as well, and I'm very thankful that you and I get this platform to talk to people every
Saturday. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's about everybody that's a part of this show and even Absolutely. Our audience. So
speaking of that, our plant of the week is...
The petunia.
You know, how basic is that?
It is basic. And I used to despise petunias, and I'll tell you why. You know, I remembered those days when I was a kid in the greenhouse, and you would get those overcast, cloudy spring days, and they would go on for a couple of days, and then it would get dry again, and we would get wet again. And, you know, you were always picking those petunia blooms.
Getting a little mushy, weren't they?
Oh, they were getting mushy big time.
Those days have come. And they are gone.
And, you know, it's like, oh, petunias. But the newer generations of petunias, the recent introductions, I should say, have come a long way. And a lot of various colors, unique colors that we used to not see. It used to always be, they were either red, they were white, they were purple, they were pink. Now we have all kinds of color combinations because of, you know, hybridizing and getting various looks and various growth patterns with petunias. And I still, to this day, and I'm going to talk a little bit in depth about it, I still like the wave petunias.
I still do, too. There's so many petunias out there. There's super petunias, tidal waves. You got just the regular way. I mean, we could go on, and we are. That's the whole plan.
Well, remember, it was your regular petunias years ago.
Yep.
And then... the super petunia came out. Then you had the cascading petunia, the one that would
shock
go over.
Wave. I mean, it's kind of getting crazy, but there are so many good ones out there. So if I could ask you, I want you to give me just a starter. I know there's thousands. So just pick one that you like. It may not be your favorite. Give me one that if somebody came in and said, hey, I'm looking for a good, easy petunia, which one would
I choose? Well, that's an easy one because I would want to make you a believer in petunias and their performance. So inevitably, I'm gonna steer you to Bubblegum Vista.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because if that petunia can't make you a believer in petunias, I don't know what petunia out there would. And the reason being is, you know, it can take over a pot. So you don't need a lot.
Mm-mm.
You don't need a lot. And people will be asking you, where did you get that petunia? What is that variety? It is one that will not disappoint, and if I was to make somebody a believer in petunias, that would be my go-to right off the bat.
Yeah, and there's so many good ones, but one that I love, it's been out for a little while, the denim,
yep.
The shockwave denim. What I love about it is it starts off a little bit darker on the purple, but you'll get like three different colors on the denims. You'll get the real light, kind of the dark, and it really kind of like denim jeans fade a little bit. And, you know, some spots are darker and some spots are a little lighter. The denim kind of has the same look to it. And I absolutely love this one. And I think it's a good one for hanging baskets and containers. I forget how long it's been since it's been out. But the denim petunia is a beautiful, beautiful plant. Love that one.
Yeah, you know, I like the one called Bordeaux. I think you mentioned that one last week. It has that real light, kind of a lavender background with the deep veining in it that mm-hmm. just really stands out. And it's a great performer.
I think that's a super petunia, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have to lean in that one. And it's one of the best sellers, actually, too. So these are some of those you want to look for at your local garden centers and nurseries.
You know, I think the Bordeaux is a good one. There's one. It's out there. It's not always my favorite. You know, but I do like it, and it was called Pretty Much Picasso.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you.
It's very different, and mm-hmm. what it is it's got the green, light green outer edges.
With a little magenta in it.
So I think it's really
yellow.
Cool. I love it. The only thing I don't like about it is sometimes the green edges blend in with the foliage, and so it's not, it is a really good bloomer, but sometimes it looks like the blooms are a little smaller because of that, the way they contrast.
Why does that bother you? You're just being a little picky.
I'm Judge Bob.
You're a picky eater.
You called me
so
Judge
here
last
you go.
Night.
This
so
is
I'm
that
Judge
picky
Bob.
Eater element.
It's my job. Verdict
All
is
right.
in.
749-B105, in and around the house. I'm Tony Works with Bob Bard. We're going to continue our discussion about our plant of the week, the petunia. As simple as that sounds, there are a lot to choose from. And they're not your old petunias anymore. That's for sure. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony Works and Bob Bard. And a great way to stay in touch with us is via our Facebook page. Get out there. You got to like us. Also, feel free to send us an email at inandaroundthehouse@b105.com. And if you certainly aren't able to join us sometimes during the Saturday morning program, you still can hang out with us and do that on our podcast. Alex does a great job keeping up with that. And, you know, we've covered a lot of ground thus far this morning, Bob, and we're still going to talk a little bit about annuals and maybe a little bit more about petunias. And in the meantime, we're going to reach out to one of our garden centers or one of our local listeners. We did that last week with Jim Montag. Caught him a little off guard, so that's the intent. Maybe we can catch somebody else off guard
this morning. We'll have to try to get Ed to call Ed's feed and see if he'll come on with us.
Ed won't come on. We just reached out to Ed. He's out there watering.
Edward's working already. Well, good morning, Ed.
Up at Ed's Feed and Seed.
Yeah, make sure you check him out.
Ask Ed, when you go in there, I want you to ask Ed, how come you won't go on the air with Tony when he calls you?
Oh, you called him out.
No.
You just called him out.
He's busy. He's always busy. Come on, Ed. We're calling you out, Ed.
Absolutely.
Join us.
You know, we were talking about some other petunias.
Right.
And, you know, one of the easy waves that I really like, and I love it in the baskets too, is the Pink Passion petunia. Have you ever seen that?
That sounds like a drink. Mixed drink.
It is a true pink. Like, it's just pink, but it is a great bloomer. It's part of the Easy Wave series. I just don't think you can go wrong. So if you really like the color pink, this is a good one to look for.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the ground, I'm gonna have to still say I like the original Wave petunia, but I want to also point this out to you about petunias. This is very, very important. And kind of listen up. Do not plant petunias in the same location repeatedly year after year after year after year. You will end up more than likely with a disease called Phytophthora that becomes soil borne. And when I say that, once that petunia gets Phytophthora, it's in the soil for a long, 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 long time.
Thereafter, plus, it's good to change up anyway.
Well, thereafter, if you plant petunias there in that spot again, they're going to get that disease, draw it up, they're not going to perform for you, and they're going to end up going south, so to speak.
Yes.
And this is funny, but I'll tell you when I want to say this, and this is why it's so important to go out to your local garden centers and nurseries, get the right information from the professionals, the right people. And I'm certainly not taking anything away from those who know what they're talking about in the big box stores, but I don't think there are enough. But this is a funny thing. I talked to a gentleman one time, Bob, and he told me, I get my petunias from Home Depot, and although they die every year, they take them back. I said, well, how long has this been going on? You know, 3 or 4 years. I said, has a thought ever occurred to you something might be going on, or did somebody even just merely suggest, hey, wait a minute, time out. This is what's happening to you. It's Phytophthora. He took a soil sample out and had Phytophthora, and they just, oh, yeah, here, keep planting these. You know, that's why it's important. You know, and I'm not saying we know it all. We don't.
We learn every day.
But, you know, our ears perk up when certain things start occurring and certain things start happening. Those of us who have a passion for what we do, you know, we want to be on top of it. We want to give you the best information and help you be successful. And, you know, Phytophthora is an ugly disease. And just keep that in mind. Do not plant petunias in the ground in the same place year after year, and you'll be fine.
And
mix it up.
Yeah, you know, containers usually are changing the soil, so it's not a big deal. So if you put them in containers, you've probably never had that issue. I'll tell you one issue you can have with petunias, not early in the season, but later in the season.
I know what you're going to say. Is it an insect?
Well, insect, and then there's also, they get stringy and thin, and they look really bad. And there's usually one reason for that. Too much water.
Too much water.
You know, so if petunias are one of those, especially these new mounding ones and the ones that stay very compact, you know, they kind of cover themselves. They shade their roots, so to speak. You don't need to water them every day. They prefer actually to be a little bit on the dry side, not dry out. But a lot of times when you're keeping them too wet, they'll actually look like they're drying out, so you water more frequently.
Yeah, they'll wilt just like they are if they're dry.
Right.
And you'll see them starting to yellow off. They'll get chlorotic. They'll get kind of spindly. And that is not a good position
there,
to be in.
There isn't, but there is a solution if you catch it early enough. But if it's too late and they're gone and you drowned at the roots, they're done. But if you catch it and you're like, what is going on? Cut them back really hard. If you got a 12-inch container, cut them back to about the size of the container. And then start the Jack's petunia feed or a good fertilization regimen. And don't overwater. And they are so tough and so hardy, they will rejuvenate. I had a lot of people having issues last year. And it could happen again this year if you're overwatering. So don't be afraid on your annuals to let them dry out a little bit.
And water your petunias under the foliage. Now, when you have those in a hanging basket, you see a lot of just what you're talking about, you know, as they drape out over the side. And think about this. You get hard rains. It weights down the petunia and it flattens them out on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Inevitably, that happens all the time. Just like Bob said, give them a hard haircut, a little bit of Jack's, weight them out. And they'll bounce right back.
And petunias are great fillers and spillers. You know, I mean, some of the ones that typically just vine only are going to be spillers. But you get into, you know, there's some of the ones that really are taller that you got to give space for, like the tidal wave petunias. They can get really big.
The old boy, I have to tell you a funny story. He gets, you know, my dad, when he gets on a roll, he's just potting stuff up. I mean, he just goes at it. He's like a machine.
Yep.
And, you know, he just gets it done. And I don't know if he wasn't paying attention or if they were mislabeled, but one year he put the tidal wave petunias in hanging baskets.
Oh,
they were
boy.
They were all shot. He was never so mad, more mad. It was comical. I mean, he was disgusted.
Yes.
When he gets disgusted, he's got this funny look on his face. It took the wind out of his sails.
We planted some of those in our front flower bed. My wife and I did one year. And you know, we plant pretty heavy just because we like it full. It's something you'd mentioned for your window boxes. Plant it heavy, you know, and we really did. But the tidal waves really just took over the whole bed. And I forget what we had in there, but it just smothered it. It was like a tidal wave. It just went over top and smothered everything that was in that bed. And those tidal waves completely took over. So it's a good plant. Just got to make sure you give it space.
It needs to be in the right place, that's for sure. You know, I want to switch gears, and I want to ask you about one of my favorite plants. I've never grown it during a summer month, and I should. And its blooms are just impeccable, and that is the Gerbera daisy.
Yeah, you like that one, huh?
You know, it's almost as if the colors of the Gerbera daisy is not real. I mean, you'll see just these vivid, vibrant yellows, whites, reds, and the blooms are quite large. Mm-hmm. The foliage is interesting, and it stays kind of low. It's kind of looks real leafy, the foliage of the Gerbera daisy. And out of the center of this particular daisy are these long stems. They almost look like palm trees as they rise up out of the foliage. And you see these huge blooms at the top.
You just know, a good plant.
It's.
Don't you find though? What about sun exposure?
Well,
those?
I think they're best suited. They need sun, but here's kind of what I've been gathering, and I've never planted these before, and everybody tells me something different. And if you've had really good success with Gerbera daisies, I am very interested to hear you give us your solution or some of your approaches to taking care of them. You know, even if they're in a container or a window box or in your landscape beds, I find that they bloom really well early in the season. And as you get into the middle part of summer, when it really gets hot, they slow down a little bit and then they ramp back up.
Yes.
Now, I also know that I think Gerbera daisies are heavy feeders. So I would certainly fertilize those about every 10 to 14 days with just a generic fertilizer. And what's really key with the Gerbera daisy is when the blooms expired, when it's starting to wane off, don't just leave it there. Don't leave it attached. Go down into the lower part of the foliage and twist that stem out. That's what encourages new stems to come up.
I like to trim those kind of like I like to trim old-fashioned geranium. Clean up the dead ones. I like to clean it up. Now, you said general fertilizer. I love the 20-20-20 from Jack's on those. Absolutely love it. It's straight across the board. It's even, but it's a good feed for that particular plant.
Have you gotten any feedback from people who have planted the Gerbera daisies and what their summer performance is like?
We had some at our house, and they did quite well in the back. They were in a western exposure, but they were kind of shaded by my palm tree that I have a little bit, but they got plenty of light.
I think this bloom is the most beautiful bloom of all blooming annuals. I really do. It's incredible. And the colors don't even look real. They almost look like they're manufactured. They're man-made. They're stunning. Yeah. I'm just curious, you know, we use them a lot in a floral department, and they're beautiful when they go out in arrangements. Okay. That's an annual that you can use as a cut flower and put some of those on a table.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is one, we're going back to gifts for mom, which we've been talking about our plant of the week, but, you know, the petunia basket would be a great one. You know, getting some of these in a 4-inch pot and taking it to mom and getting, maybe even grabbing a pot and putting 3 or 4 together of different colors and have a collage for mom. You know, that would be a great gift for her to get.
Well, let's talk about a few more gifts before we conclude our show, this last half hour part of it. For those who are still looking to get out to the garden center and pick up something for mom for Mother's Day, you better do just that, because you don't want me on you. 749-B105, in and around the house. I'm Tony Works with Bob Bard. Good morning. And welcome back to In and Around the House. I'm Tony Works with Bob Bard, and it's Mother's Day weekend. Don't want you to forget mom. Moms are special, and no one will love you more than your mom, believe me. And there's a lot of things out there, Bob, that we can encourage people to pick up at the garden center that will be something that mom will treasure for a long time. If it's a perennial, a couple perennials, maybe a rose bush, a hybrid tea of some sort, hydrangeas we were talking a lot about this morning on the program.
Vincas.
The hanging baskets Vincas that you were speaking highly about. So there's a lot of things that we can pick up for mom. Just even like a gift basket, maybe with some new gardening gloves, maybe with a hand trowel, just gardening tools, things that she needs, things that she'll have for a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, moms really don't care. I mean, I don't think moms just, they like the thought. But you know what? They do so much for us. I mean, moms in general, I mean, think about everything they got to do. Sometimes they're the taxi driver, they're the chef, laundry, maid. I mean, they're underappreciated.
Well,
no doubt about it.
You better, you know, what you told me in the break that you put your mom through, you better get her something.
That's true. That's true. But you know what? You don't have to worry about me.
You like that one, didn't you, Alex?
You're the one going after the listeners. You're angry today.
No,
you
know,
don't make me get on you. Don't make me get after you. It's two things you said at our listeners. Poor listeners.
You know, that was all in fun and jest. I'm not angry, you know. The thing, it's really this. Boy, if I could just talk to my mom, call her up on the phone, and just have a conversation with her for 2 or 3 or 5 minutes, I would cherish that like nothing else in the world.
So that's why
I say that. And I'm saying that being fun and in jest, but you better pick something up for mom or stop by and see her. That's for sure.
No, I get it. So, anyway,
before we go on, and we're getting a little funny here, but we have Doug Lohman with us on the line from over at Lohman Garden Center. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Good morning. Great. How are you?
We're doing well. So how has the season been thus far for you? It's been a good one, has it not?
Yeah, it's been real good, especially this last 2-3 weeks since it's not been, we haven't had any cold nights.
That's always a plus, that's for sure. And we haven't had any frost or those late season frost, you know, where we have to bring things in or cover things up. It's just been one of those springs. Everything has been happening in a timely fashion.
Yeah, it's unusual to not have to cover things at least once or twice every year.
I have to agree with you.
It's great. It's great. It hasn't been that way, I think, ever. So loving it.
So what do you have over there that's blooming that people can come in at Lohman's and pick up for mom that's looking stellar, that's going to put a big smile on her face?
We have lots of hanging baskets. We just put out a lot of mixed hanging baskets that we just brought out of the greenhouse last night and put out. So they're all, no one's even seen them yet as of right now. So we're just now opening up for the day. Still some nice bushes in that are blooming. I know you were just talking about that. And even rose bushes, something that's going to last more than just a year.
Yeah, you know, the lilacs, too, have been really stellar this year.
Yeah, fragrance has been incredible.
And dogwoods.
Dogwoods, you know, just lots and lots of color out there. You know, even the Weigelia have looked exceptional, and that's one of Bob's favorites. And I like to, I like to spar on him a little bit about Weigelia, but and you know, what was it the other day?
I'm turning you.
No, and his favorite plant, Doug, is potentilla.
No, it isn't.
And the thing of it is, somebody came into the garden center the other day and they needed a potentilla, and I had to, like, I had my tail between my legs, and I had to text out to Bob, like, would you happen to have one of those?
That's probably what he's going to give his mom, so.
He better give her, like, three for what he's put her through.
No, potentilla I will not give as a gift. Yeah. We're not going to recommend that for Mother's Day.
Doug, give us your contact information and your website and where you're located, and let's get some people driving your way, picking up some beautiful blooms for Mom this Mother's Day weekend.
Well, we're in Harrison, Ohio at 10109 New Haven Road. Our phone number is 513-367-2424, and we have a Facebook page. It's Lohman's Seed and Greenhouse. We don't have a website.
That's all right.
That's all right. They can still find you.
They can still find you. Well, hey, have a super season, and hope you're busy today and tomorrow, and we'll stay in touch. Thanks, Doug, for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, buddy. Good guy right there. You know,
why are you digging on me today now? All of a sudden, you start digging on me.
Oh, are you a little sensitive today?
Maybe.
You any Sensodyne over there? Something we can help Bob out with?
You know, I am sensitive because what a beautiful day. The sun shines out. It's Mother's Day weekend. The garden centers are full of color. You know, get out and just get to those garden centers because you're not going to find a better selection. You know, after Mother's Day, selection will drop. There's no doubt about it. So you want to get there and get there today. You know, it's get there early today. Get to the stores. Pick up those hanging baskets. Pick up those containers and go ahead and get that started for Mom now.
Most definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. 749-B105 in and around the house. I'm Tony Works with Bob Ard. We have to take another quick break. And where this 2 to 3 hours have gone thus far, Bob, I don't know. But
that's three hours in radio.
The fastest 3 hours. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony Works and Bob Bard. It's a lovely morning. That's all I can say. I it would be nice if it hangs out with us longer today. Unfortunately, it looks as if we're going to see some clouds move in around midday, hang out with us the rest of the afternoon. And I don't even want to say this, and I hope it doesn't happen, but there may be some late day showers too. So hopefully we get this nice day in. We can spend some time with Mom and also tomorrow and get out to your local garden centers and nurseries and just pick up something beautiful for her. And while we were in a break, we have Ron with us on the phone. He has a question about some Japanese maples. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. How are you guys doing? Good morning.
Doing okay. What's going on? What do you got going on with Japanese maples?
So really just looking for some direction, looking to where I can get the best one locally, I guess, Tri-County area. Looking to spend, I don't know, I guess around $300 or so. So just trying to get an idea and some direction on.
You're not too far away from. Yeah, you're not too far away from Jim at Lakeview. If anybody has a wide selection of Japanese maples, it's going to be Jim up in that area.
Yeah.
Have you ever been up to Lakeview Nursery?
No, I have not.
Yeah. That's where the unusual is usual with Jim. Ask for Jim and tell him we sent you. And or look for John, a great nursery, a lot of interesting things. And Jim is very, very passionate about Japanese maples. As a matter of fact, when I have discussions with Jim about maples, we can just go on and on. But he has people that come up as far south as Alabama to buy different species from him.
Oh, wonderful.
In that price range, you'll be able to find Japanese maples. Yeah. You may not find the specialty item that's, you know, ginormous already. But you should have no problem with the budget that you set right there, finding a good variety and a pretty healthy Japanese maple. That's when I say healthy size-wise, Japanese maple.
Perfect. You know,
you have time for one more quick question?
Yeah, sure.
Looking Mother's Day, I was looking for a smaller tree. Doesn't have to be anything huge, maybe even if it's a dwarf, but I want something bigger than a bush, something that's flowering. Guys, maybe any recommendations?
I got one for you. While you're up there at Jim's, because Jim put me onto this particular dogwood called Little Poncho. Little Poncho, it's in bloom right now. It's stellar. I have a couple in the nursery and already sold one. Little Poncho gets around 8 feet, maybe 10 max.
That's perfect.
I would go with a dwarf lilac tree.
There you go. That's
so
another,
right around Mother's Day every year, it'll smell absolutely fantastic. Kind
I
of
love
a round
lilac.
Ball
that's
shape.
Wonderful.
Moms love lilac, so that one would be a good one.
That would
one
be
too.
A great one. Even a tree form hydrangea.
Yep. Any okay. of those you can't go wrong with.
Yeah, they'll get about 6 to 8 feet in height, give or take, and rather manageable and very attractive.
Perfect. Well, I really appreciate you guys and look forward to calling in again next week. Thanks.
All right, Thanks. Ron. Let us know what you do. And we have Alex with us. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well. So, are you a mom? You a mother? Happy Mother's Day?
A stepmom, yes.
Stepmom,
that's
awesome.
A mom.
That's a mom.
Yep.
Thanks. You're just Very as important. Much. Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate that. I have two questions. One about a maple tree in our front yard.
Uh-huh.
That is producing an excessive amount of helicopters this year.
Mm-hmm.
And not very many leaves.
Mm. The leafing part worries me.
Okay.
You know, and interestingly enough, you know, Mother Nature and species such as the maple, they know when they're in trouble and they're trying to carry on and put That's out right. future generations.
Okay.
So I'm not trying to sound the alarm by any means.
Okay.
But, you know, this is something that you definitely want to have inspected or looked by an ISA certified arborist.
Okay.
Ron Rothaus, the arbor doctor, would be one that I would have come out and take a look at it.
Okay.
Maybe Tim Back, Dave Stang, you know, just somebody that those guys have good reputations, and I would certainly have it evaluated.
Okay.
A lot of times there are various diseases that can get into some of the maples and kind of bind up its vascular system, and you might be experiencing some of that. How tall is this particular tree and how old?
I'm not sure how old it's. I mean, it's huge.
Uh-huh.
We have a one-story, just a ranch house, and it's probably 2.5 times the height of
Okay,
our
so it's quite older. It's established. Yes. You haven't done anything recently as far as construction or maybe a new driveway or anything around that tree that might have impeded on it? And
we
such?
Did. Actually, now that you say that, we expanded our driveway a little bit.
Okay.
And may have hit like a root on the way to digging out part of that driveway.
Okay. You know, a tree of that size, definitely, you know, with a canopy, I'm envisioning a canopy that's of size as well.
Yes.
The roots go out beyond that canopy, those feeder roots.
Okay.
And if you've expanded your driveway and added more concrete, you have probably cut off some of its water supply as well, or maybe damaged it or, you know, compaction. This is something you definitely want to have an arborist take a look at and explain just that you have had done recently.
Okay.
And, you know, follow up with this. If you have a moment, hang out with us, and I'll try and get Ron's phone number for you from the arbor doctor.
Okay.
Or you can Google the arbor doctor.
Okay.
And Ron will definitely give you a good assessment of that situation. You want to chime in, Bob? You have anything you want to add
no,
to that?
No, I mean, and then sometimes just... Maybe it's nothing. Sometimes they're just heavy on the helicopters. I will say I've noticed this year, even I was driving down the road, the wind was blowing and the helicopters were flying even as I was driving. So there seemed to be very heavy this year. It could just be something cyclical.
Yeah. Did you say you had another question as well?
I do.
Now, if you do me a favor, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. We have to take a quick break.
Sure.
In the meantime, you get a pencil. We'll get Ron's phone number for you, and then we'll take that second question, and we'll be right back with you, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, Alex. Thank you. In and around the house with Tony Works and Bob Bard. We have to take our last break before we conclude this morning's show, and we'll be right back. Good morning, and welcome back to In and Around the House. We're coming to the conclusion of today's show. It's always a quick 3 hours when you're just discussing just plants after plants after plants, and it's always fun to do that. And we still have Alex with us. She has another question, I believe, and you still there with us?
Yes.
Yeah, so what else we...
Sure. So I am actually an agriculture teacher down at Walton Verona High School in Walton, Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
and we have a greenhouse attached to my classroom.
Awesome.
And my students do a greenhouse sale every year. which is going on today from 9 to 1, my plug there. But we have petunia baskets, and you were talking about petunias, and they are super stringy and leggy, and they're falling over the basket, but they're flat in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if we needed to pinch more or if it is just overwatering. I have a drip irrigation system in the greenhouse. But they're really pretty on the sides, but there's nothing in the middle. And when it is in the middle, it's just straight up and one flower on the top.
Yeah, I would give them a good haircut. Okay. The other thing, too, is refrain from, you know, you said you had an irrigation system. So I guess that's like a drip line that goes right into the pot.
Drips. Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't water them any other way.
No.
No. Yeah. But, you know, that's one of those, you know, as a result of when it comes to watering, you know, that you'll see petunias behave that way.
Okay.
You know, they need to, you know, it's like if I see them just ever so slightly starting to wilt in the garden center, that's when I give them a drink and it's not a heavy one. I just give them a little bit just to, you know, it's as if they're running a marathon. I just want to give you a little cup of water to get you to finish to the finish line.
Okay.
So that's how I treat them.
And they like to be a little dry. It sounds to me like they're a smidge wet, and that will cause that look where it looks like it's drying out, so you want to give it more. But that's exactly what I just described in a segment or two ago. So give them a haircut and kind of slow the water down on some of those.
Okay.
And if you can, fertilize them. And if you do that, in 2 to 3 weeks, you'll see a massive improvement.
Okay, and we use Jack's fertilizer, too. So
that's a
good
one.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's great for petunias, the petunia feed. All right, Alex, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right.
All those students working on flowers. That's
students.
Great.
That's what
Love
I like.
It.
That's
Love
right.
It.
Future generations right there. Mm-hmm. And we have, I believe, Ron with us on the line. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
No, it's Roy.
Oh, Roy. I'm sorry. Roy, what's going on? What can we help you with?
I have a question. I'm helping my neighbor a little bit. She's got a Japanese maple that's really overgrown and hanging over on our sidewalk and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about is it the proper time of the year to trim it now? Get back in shape.
You can, you know, and is it like the walkway?
Yeah, it's over the walkway and it's down, you know, it's really getting overgrown, it's down on the ground, needs to be trimmed up, it's really getting out of hand.
Yeah, this is, you know, wow, this is one of those situations, although it's not one of the 3 D's, Bob, when we say the 3 D's, the pruning, anything that's damaged, diseased, or dead, obviously it's an obstacle. And, you know, and it's one of those, if you keep brushing up against it, you know, you might injure the tree. I prefer to prune those after they drop their foliage where I can really get a good look at the inner structure of it to see how I want to do it.
I think if he uses some hand pruners and he goes out and is very deliberate on where he prunes.
Right.
So you're not just taking your shears and shear it. That's not what we want to see now. But if you take your hand pruners and you get in there and you thin a little bit, you're going to have to move a little bit of the foliage softly and look at the inner branch structure and take off some bigger branches. You do that, I think you'll be fine.
I've read some places
where they say that they recommend trying to find, you know, look and take some of the bigger branches out to get down to the smaller ones.
Anything crossing, anything that looks like it might be a problem in the future, you know, especially ones that are sitting right on top of each other, try to take one of those out. It is okay to take a bigger branch, you know, but usually what I like to do is try to get in the ones that are more inside that are thicker, because as you trim some of those out, the ones that are on the outside, they're almost sitting on top of it. They'll almost naturally fall back in. And then that way you cover up everything you're pruning so it doesn't look like you did a whole lot to it. But use hand pruners.
Yeah, my concern, since the leaves are completely out now, I could do some trimming now. Right?
I would be very selective and diligent about it, and I would just trim out enough that I can get by with the season. And I like to do the pruning when they drop their foliage where I can get a better look at that structure, because once you make a cut, you can't put them back on.
Is it more of the lace leaf variety, the cut leaf one, or is it the broader leaf red one, more vertical, upright?
The skinny leaf one, yeah.
Skinny leaf one, yeah. If you go ahead and I've got one of those at my house. I go ahead and usually I don't get to it till the end of this month, which is really late, but I will selectively hand prune that. And if you do it selectively and you just go slow, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I was thinking about just one branch at a time with a small hand trimmer.
You got it. You're doing it right.
Hand pruners.
Okay, very good.
All right. Thank you, Roy.
Thanks for your help.
You're welcome. You know, that's a good question. You know, and going back into it, I'm looking for those laterals. And I try to prune those in such a way where I can continue that direction of an adjacent lateral to thin it out or just get some of that out of the way. And sometimes that's a perfect point in case where you put something in the wrong place to where it gets too big for its location. It starts impeding on walkways.
Well, some
or
of those
you
trim, they kind of flatten out, widen out a little bit more. And I love to trim mine later in the season when I can really see it. But there has been times where, like this year, it is because of all the rain. The Japanese maple, mine is going nuts. I'm going to have to do some pruning. And up there at work, they call me the butcher because there's a reason. When I prune, I'm a heavy pruner. I don't mind doing it. But on my Japanese maple, I'm very, very, very selective. I just like to take my time. But I've taken a fair amount off before because it's too big. And they're fine, but I take my time.
That's one of my favorite species of trees. There's so many different varieties. And as Ron, when he called up and we were telling him to go up to see Jim at Lakeview, once you become a Japanese maple fan, it's an addiction. And then all of a sudden, if you have other areas in the landscape where you're thinking, oh, what's the next one I can go out and purchase? Or what's the other different type that I can pick up? You need intervention, and that's a good thing.
You know, this show has been great.
I love them.
We've been all over. That's why it's the best 3 hours in radio, because we have covered so much, and I love the listeners calling in, asking questions, you know, and just look forward to it every Saturday. I just can't believe it's done.
You better love your mom today and pick her something up this weekend.
Definitely.
And
all the women, you know, all women who are mothers, you know, thank you. Happy Mother's Day. From I can speak for you on this one. It is from our hearts that we really are thankful for our mothers.
All right. In and around the house here again with Tony and Bob. We'll see you next Saturday.